grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it. Come on, see? There you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lila Jaber with the Florida PSC. I want you to know about two programs that can help make phone service affordable for all Floridians, Lifeline Assistance and Link Up Florida. If you already qualify for certain public assistance benefits, Lifeline can save you up to $11.35 on your monthly phone bill, and LinkUp can reduce your initial hookup fee by up to $30. For a free brochure, call us at 1-800-342-3552 or visit our website at floridapsc.com.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Hi, I'm Jeff Corwin from Animal Planet. Years ago, Americans learned the tuna they were eating was caught in a way that killed thousands of dolphins. Our government responded by banning the import of this tuna. The Dolphin Safe Tuna label was put on tuna cans to help consumers make the right choice. And dolphin deaths dropped by 90%. But proposed changes to this program would allow dolphin deadly tuna to be sold under the Dolphin Safe label. Visit SaveDolphins.org to learn how you can help.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh yeah, coming to you from the still blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. Yes, folks, it has been an exciting time around here, and I mean that in not a good way, the past, 8 days. Had Hurricane Charlie come through, mostly in Charlotte and Lee County. Think about that. Charlotte and Lee County. Charlie. Huh? Interesting. What a mess. I don't know how many of you have been through a hurricane. It was my first one. And I live just a few miles south of where the eye wall hit. And I got to tell you, it was a frightening experience. If you've never been through it, it is a frightening experience. I had everything all boarded up at home, and my wife and I's home sustained no damage at all. Our landscaping, on the other hand, well, but the good thing is, it's in Florida, and it will grow back very, very soon. However, just north of us, and there's much, much damage here in Fort Myers and Sanibel Island and Captiva and Pine Island. terrible, terrible devastation. You just TV doesn't do it justice, believe me. It's just utter devastation. A little town of Arcadia, just northeast of us a little ways, and Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte, and just awful. Thousands of people homeless. You know, so many times people think that people live here in this wonderful paradise where we are. They think that they're all money to people with plenty of money, and that everybody has this is their second home. Well, it's not true. Lots of full-time residents here, and lots of folks here who, you know, living on Social Security or living from week to week, and they've lost everything they own. There's many, many, many people who have lost everything. And it's just catastrophic. It really is. I must commend all the agencies that are helping, doing a wonderful job getting water and food out and so forth, and making telephones available, and FEMA's in here, and the National Guard's in here, and we're very, very thankful. Some of us, in my particular case, my wife and I, we lost power for a few days. Big deal. Although, you know, that's a big deal to us. How many times you go reaching for the light switch and nothing happens? How many times do you open the refrigerator and the light doesn't come on? You know, it's just always a terrible, terrible thing. But, you know, when you stop and think about it, when all that happened to you, you lose power for 2 or 3 days, why, you think, oh me, oh my. But then you start thinking of those folks that lost everything in this. It's a tragedy, and you'd have to see it to believe it. But I know many of you listening have gone through this, and it was... Well, you know, to give you some idea of what a shock it was, last Friday morning, a week ago Friday, we were told that that thing was heading toward Tampa Bay, and that we'd get brushed with the outer winds of the hurricane here, maybe 50, 60 mile an hour winds. And about 11 o'clock in the morning, I told my wife, I'm going to go outside and board up one more window there that I ought to get boarded up. I was outside about 30 minutes. And when I went outside, it was a Category 2 heading for Tampa. When I came back in 30 to 35 minutes time, it was a Category 4, and it was heading for Fort Myers. Just that quick. So it's understandable how some people, you know, were stuck in their homes, and you know, they didn't know it was coming until the last minute. By then, it was dangerous enough. They said, don't leave your homes. Don't go out in it. It did take a slight jog then and go just north of Fort Myers, but, you know, around the Caloosahatchee River here and up at Punta Gorda. It was, well, I know I've said it many, many times, but you'd have to see it to believe it. You really would. But we're thankful, very thankful that we got through it okay, and our thoughts and prayers are most certainly with all the people who have suffered this terrible tragedy. We will go on. There are many, many people here volunteering with help and resources, and we're very thankful for that. I drove over to Miami on Wednesday, and it seemed like there was just an armada of trucks heading this way with relief supplies and just about anything you would need to help out after a hurricane. So kudos to all those people out there working day and night, getting the power back on, getting the water going again, and the authorities, they've done... I think all they can do, and proud of very many of them for that, I really am. But we got a lot on tap today here for the program. If you'd like to talk about the hurricane, we may take a half hour or so, talk about that. If any of you got something you'd like to talk about, many of us have got... I was concerned about this one big tree. We have this beautiful, beautiful, huge royal palm right outside of our home, and we bought our home about 7 years ago, and this thing was just... maybe a dozen feet high, maybe 15 feet high, and now it's up above the roof of our home is very tall, and garage below and two floors above that, and now it's up above the roof. It's that big, and it's just a perfect royal palm tree, and I didn't want to lose that tree, and I just kept watching that tree. But you know the way this goes, and I you know, tell me if I'm talking too much about it, all of our friends on the internet around the country on Democratic Underground and Democrats.com and all those folks. My wife and I are sitting there looking out through the slits in the boards where I've got our double glass doors boarded up. And it started blowing, and then it really started blowing. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, This is amazing. This is just amazing. I couldn't get over how hard it was blowing. And I could see my wife's eyes are just big around as saucers, you know. Look at that. It was frightening. And then it shifted into a whole nother gear. And then the winds really started, and I think my eyes got big as saucers at that point. I just couldn't believe it was blowing like it did. It's incredible. Don't know what the winds were at our home, but I know up at Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda and maybe across Pine Island and Captiva, the winds were up to 145, 146 mile an hour, and maybe even some gust higher than that. Thankfully, the eye wall wasn't as wide as it was with Andrew. I think Andrew's eye wall was about 10 miles wide, and this one was only about 5. Within that 5 miles, it just literally destroyed everything. Like I said, you'd have to see it to believe it. Well, you know, everybody's got something. I was born and raised in the Midwest, and we had our tornadoes there. Not as bad as they have them in, say, Kansas or Oklahoma, but nonetheless, we had some terrible tornadoes there, killer tornadoes. And out west, had relatives that lived in California and went through like a little mini earthquake one time, and that was amazing. And, you know, everybody's got something. Terrible snowstorms up in the northeast and northwest, and here we have the hurricanes. And that's just one of those things we accept. We live here. We roll the dice. That's the first time a hurricane has hit this area in about 43 or 44 years. So we've been extremely lucky. And our little slice of paradise will look real nice again in just a couple of years. Everything will grow back. Interesting times. What have you been doing all week long? Have you been? And by the way, I my producer's looking at me. She's staring daggers at me. Says, "You dope, why don't you give out the phone numbers? 888-602-7500-7501-02-03-04. And here locally, 479-5540. Many folks here locally probably still don't have their phones back, but 479-5540 or 888-602-7500. We'll take your calls. And a little later on, we're going to have a guest on. Tell you right now, a bit ahead of time, he's not very political, but something is happening in his life that I think you may find interesting, something that's happening to a lot of folks right now. And, of course, the news this week, how can you get away from this story about the Swift boat liars? How can you, we're going to talk a lot about that today, I'm sure. Just have to wonder how far it can go. How far will these guys go? How much will they be humiliated and have their lives exposed before they finally give it up? So far it looks like they're just keeping at it. And I've seen some of them totally humiliated, and they just come right back and tell the same old story again. So it's interesting. Hey, we're going to go to the phones. We got Jeff on the line. Jeff, welcome to the show. Do we have Jeff with us? Yes, we do. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Guy?
Good.
I was just curious if you're familiar with a lot of our invasive exotic plants here in southwest Florida, such as the Australian pines that came down in the Sanibel Captiva area.
Oh, yeah. Those are not indigenous to this area, are they?
No, they're from Australia. And
yeah.
I do a lot of work with the Lee County Parks, and it's been talked about in circles, environmental circles, for the last few years that we were afraid the Australian pines were going to come down. They have very shallow root systems, and a lot of people were trying to protect those pines out in Sanibel, and there was a lot of people in environmental circles that wanted to see them come down just for this very reason. And the reason why these people from Sanibel Captiva could not get back out to the island for such a long period of time was because those Australian pines came down like matchsticks.
No trees seem to have a root system here. I guess they can't get below that rock that's under the ground pretty good. You know, everything's got... I've seen roots go... You'd know a lot more about it than I do, but I've seen roots go wide quite a bit, but they don't get very deep.
Well, here in Florida, there's not as much rock down there. What we have is a lot of sand, and a lot of our indigenous trees don't grow very tall, and the reason why is because they've evolved through thousands of years of local living here to grow to a certain height, and past that they don't grow that tall. And that's why the Australian pines were brought in. They wanted taller shade trees out on the island.
Well, how about these Melaleuca trees? They seem to, over in my neighborhood, those darn things seem to weather the storm pretty well. You might know.
That is true. I'm talking really specifically about the Australian pines on the Barrier Islands. But yeah, the Melaleucas really just got their outer layer of paper bark kind of ripped off, and otherwise they did just fine.
Yeah, and everybody would love to see all those come down as well.
Yeah, they sure would. But yeah, the Australian pines, though, I thought was interesting in that there's many people here in Florida that want to see Melaleucas go, and they want to see Brazilian pepper go. All kinds of plants that people from up north don't realize that have become exotic invasive plants here in Florida. But in particular, the Australian pines are being protected out on Sanibel. And I thought it was interesting that there was a prediction if we had a major hurricane that they would be a major problem, and the prediction came true.
And you're exactly right. Hey, tell me this. I think I may have this right. You would know more than I, of course. I was talking a few minutes ago about the beautiful royal palm I have at my house. Those are not indigenous to this area either, are they?
Royal palms are, in fact, indigenous to Southwest Florida.
Oh, I thought I always had the impression that Tom Edison was the first one to bring some of those in.
No, royal palms, in fact, there's a beautiful stand. The largest strand of naturally occurring royal palms in the world is in the Fakahatchee Swamp down in just south of Naples.
Well, I learn something every day.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, enjoy your show, Guy. I just wanted to point that out about these.
Well, thanks, Jeff. That's interesting, and we'll look forward to a lot of growth coming up and things getting back to normal soon. Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and spread the word with John Kerry.
Hey, we will.
All right, bye
bye. Hey, we have Mike in Carolina on the line right now. Mike, are you? No, okay. We don't have anybody on that line yet. Why don't we just stop and take a break right now? I'll reorganize my thoughts and have a few things to get ready for you here soon. So you're listening to The Guy James Show, 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neal. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neal, visit robertnealforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream. For some of us.
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Many folks think it's the best liberal talk show in America. You know why? You know why a lot of folks think this is the best liberal talk show in America? First of all, I claim to be a liberal. Don't call me progressive. Don't call me any of that weenie stuff. I am a liberal. I live it. And I believe it. Unlike a couple of show hosts around the country, I have been, always will be, a Democrat all my life. And I walk the walk and talk the talk. So that's what makes the show just a little bit different sometimes. You've got to know that. You know, the campaign, despite our troubles here in Southwest Florida, the world has gone on this week. And we'll probably take a break from that today and get on to what's been going on around the world. And, of course, the campaign's going. And I still say, a lot of people disagree with me, it's the economy, stupid, and the foreign relations, and the Iraq war, and the Afghan war, and domestic security, and honor and integrity. You know, take your pick from any of those things. But the interesting thing is I had a chance to talk to a lot of people this week. We had a chance to do a lot of talking this week because there wasn't any TV, any computers and all that. But not a single conservative voice, in my opinion, has made a decent case for Bush to return for four more years. I'm a reasonable guy. But not a single Republican I've heard say says that Bush is intellectually strong. We've discussed that so many times. Not a single Republican I know has been able to look me in the eye and say that he believes that Bush is telling the truth about the Texas Air National Guard duty. They always laugh it off. Oh, well, what does that matter? And not a single Republican I personally know has been able to look me in the eye and say that they believe Bush is this big-time Christian everybody says he is. I'm going to talk about that a little more later on in the program. Not a single Republican I know has been able to tell me with conviction that he believes that Bush really did earn a master's degree all on his own, because he doesn't display any of the intelligence you would need to do that. And no one I know has been willing to admit that Bush's tax cuts made a difference in his or her life. But, you know, I'll qualify that by saying I don't run around with the folks who live down in Port Royal in Naples. That's a, for those of you that don't live around here, that's a ultra-rich neighborhood in Naples, and if you don't have a house there, it costs at least $10 million. Well, they don't have much to do with you. And I'm sure many of you have seen the report this week that finally the IRS has put out information we all said was true all along, that the tax cut for the fat cats hurt the middle class, shifted the burden, allows the rich to avoid much of their share of the progressive tax, and you see they don't have enough. It will never have enough, because enough isn't enough for these greedy, self-centered people. They want it all. You've seen that. They want more money so that they can buy more politicians, so the politicians could dance to the rich man's tune, so he can make even more money, so he can buy more politicians, and so it goes. You know, this Bush administration is the best example of that fascist-type agenda that the world has ever seen. You know, tell me, where else in history has a handful of mega corporations been able to buy the government? What other modern-day, and let's qualify that by say modern-day wealthy countries' government has been bought and paid for by their leaders' cronies, by the, oh, take your pick, GE's, Halliburton's, Martin Marietta, Carlyle Group, Enron, all those. You know, when the public tries to find out what goes on in these illegal secret meetings between Cheney and their government, you know, and their corporate masters, we're told to take a hike. It's none of our business. When we try and find out how it happened that we're paying Halliburton, and I know you've seen this report too, over $20 for a meal of hot dogs and french fries over in Baghdad. $20. We're told to never mind. You know, they'll take care of it. Just never you mind. Vote for us. And you know, let's face it, our government's been sold to the highest bidders, and the highest bidders ain't Joe Citizen. I got news for you. And if you don't think I'm right about that, drive up to Washington, D.C. sometime. This is a good test for you. You know, you're a citizen of this country. You're a voter. Drive up to Washington, D.C. and go to one of the Senate office buildings. Either one. Take your pick. Try the Russell building. I like that one. And try walking in there and seeing your senator. You know, you got a better chance of winning the lotto. But if you're a lobbyist for Lockheed, an energy company, or perhaps one of these pharmaceutical companies, you can walk right in and put your feet up on the senator's desk and tell him exactly what you want. And this Bush administration, and we all know it, in all likelihood, you get what you paid for. And I'm not saying it's never happened with the Democrats. I always try and be fair here. I wouldn't be that naive. But the Bush administration has taken this thing to a whole new level. You know, if you're Joe Citizen, you just don't count. But if you represent Boeing or Lockheed or Raytheon or General Dynamics, Humana, Northrop Grumman, and all those government contractors, you probably had dinner with your senator. You probably played golf with him at some exotic resort. Hell, you probably entertained him at your house. That's how it goes. You know, these people rail against big government, but they feed off of it. They make fortunes off of big government, all the while, you know, convincing you common Joe six-pack Republican voters that they're working for you. You know, you regular guy Republicans are dumb enough to believe they're going to give you a piece of the pie. You know, for years you've been hoodwinked with stories about welfare queens with 15 kids making a fortune, all the while the guys at Enron have been smoking $100 cigars and drinking the finest champagne on your money. You know, a lot of those huge homes down on Gulf Drive is in Naples, those multi-million-dollar homes, lots of them have been built with money that came right out of your pocket. And yet they still convince you to vote for them. And those of you on the right wonder why many of us on the left make disparaging comments about your intelligence? Come on, people. Wake up. You know better than this. I know a lot of you know better than this. Going to go to Mike in Carolina. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. guy. How you doing?
Great.
I'm glad you made it through the hurricane okay.
Oh, yeah. A little windy.
Oh, I can imagine. You know, I was up in Sarasota. That didn't seem to catch very much, but me and Punta Gorda got flattened.
Yeah, it sure did, and I know you know that area well.
Very well, and everybody that I knew down there, of course, they're all okay, which is all very nice. I don't know. I kind of got cut off a while back, but I know you were talking about O'Neill and the Swift Boat ads and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody brought up yet that on the show here that this John O'Neill character has basically made a career out of being a professional stalker? He was hired or picked by Nixon in 1971.
That's a badge of honor.
Yeah, that's a badge of honor right there, man. I'd tattoo that on my forehead if I was him. That at least would know where he's coming from. You know, and this is 1971, so this guy is basically his entire life. I mean, most people, if you did this to a person, wrote books about him, stalked him around, there'd be like a restraining order, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
It's almost like he feels spurned. I mean, is this some sort of, I don't know, some sort of weird feelings for Carrie? I don't know.
Mike, did you see that, now I can't think of it, Dick Cavett interview where he and Carrie debated? Did you happen to see that?
Years ago, yes.
You know, I just watched that again this weekend, and the guy came away from that utterly humiliated. Carrie tied him in knots and was cool, calm, and collected, and I don't think that guy's ever gotten over that. I really don't.
Well, I don't either. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a retired general that was on one of the CNN shows that had O'Neill on it about 3 or 4 days ago, and the retired general kept going over this point of, you were not actually there. None of the people that you have on your list were actually there. And then he says, well, one crew person was out of the 256 or however many people he has signing it. And this general just kept basically, you know, talking to him about how there's a process for these sorts of accusations you're making. There's no record of it. You know, over and over, and O'Neill has this crazy look in his eyes and keeps going, well, I've got so many people that have signed a note that says they're bad, and he's just fixated on this one message. It's very Republican, actually, very conservative. You know, he's asked a question about specificity in the viewpoints of the people that he's espousing, and he sidesteps that by saying, well, they signed it and says he's a bad guy.
You know, Mike, there's a guy, I don't know if you saw this, but this comes from Oregon. A guy from Clackamas County, Oregon. Isn't that a name? Clackamas County.
I wouldn't want to live there.
Anyway, the guy's a prosecutor there, and he appears in this ad. His name is Albert French. He's 58 years old, and he's a senior deputy district attorney in Clackamas County, Oregon. And he appears in this new attack ad, and he says in it, and he's pictured in it, saying, I served with John Kerry, and he's lying about his record. So this Oregon paper goes out and interviews him, and it says in an interview Thursday, he said Kerry lied about the circumstances that led to his Purple Hearts, blah, 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 blah. French said he is relying on the accounts of three other veterans who were friends of his at the time. A fourth veteran with whom French was acquainted corroborated their accounts. I was not a witness to these events, but my friends were.
Yeah, secondhand information constantly.
Oh.
But did you see the article today, though? It's amazing. The I guess what was he write for? The Chicago paper, but... Mr. Rude. What's his first name? He's a journalist. William Rude, Chicago Tribune, said there were three swift boats on the river that day in Vietnam more than 35 years ago, three officers and 15 crew members. Only two of those officers remained to talk about what happened on February 28, 1969. He wrote in a story that appeared on the newspaper's website Saturday. One is John Kerry, the Democratic presidential candidate who won a Silver Star for what happened on that date. I am the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk about having people that were actually there in the event, and this particular journalist is, you know, really not wanted to get involved in this over the years because, you know, as a journalist, you want to try to keep some objectivity, you want to try to stay out of that particular mudslinging, and because it seems so ridiculous anyway. But now that Kerry is the candidate, I guess he finally had enough.
Yeah.
And was like, you know, I got to come out and say this. These guys are full of crap.
And they're bitter. They're bitter not over his medals and his war record. That's not what this is about. They're about what Kerry said when he came back from the war. They hate him for that. You know, some of these guys were interviewed just during Kerry's last Senate campaign, saying what a good guy he was. You know, he was a good leader and he was a good soldier and all that sort of thing. But now this whole thing.
They're easily manipulated, and people are playing on their emotions. I mean, McCain.
Yeah.
McCain is sitting there going, telling Bush and his backers to denounce these sorts of slanderous ads and saying that they're unreliable, they're wrong, they're disgraceful, and saying how, you know, he respects John Kerry. On the other hand, then he goes down to Florida and stumps with Bush. For one, I don't get McCain. I mean,
nah, I've
I
lost
know a lot
the...
of people like the guy, but just because somebody goes out and says I'm an independent doesn't mean he's got all his marbles straight.
No, I've lost my respect for him here lately. He's this deal of being out campaigning is the way he has, and some of the things he said, he sounds like a typical political whore right now. And
well,
the things
that the Bush campaign did to him in South Carolina.
Oh.
The insinuating that he had a black illegitimate child.
And that he was mentally unstable.
Mentally unstable. Well, maybe he is. Maybe we're finding out that he is. But not for the reasons that they said.
That's right. Hey, Mike, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
Keep in touch. Got guests coming up here in just a second. And say hello to your lovely bride. And
I will do so.
We're awfully glad things are okay here. And I'm glad to hear that all your friends in this area are present and accounted for.
Yeah, and I am, too. And I'm glad that you guys made it through okay.
Yeah.
So it was great talking to you. And have a great show.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
No problem. Bye-bye.
You know, I want to take time out here just for a moment. And we have talked many, many times on this program about what's happening to the working man in this country. You know, we've talked about it over and over and over again, and about how the jobs are going overseas, and all the good jobs are leaving, and what's being left are the scraps. And I thought you might enjoy hearing it right from the horse's mouth. I'm going to have a gentleman on here. Let me see here. I'm going to have a gentleman on the program right now that I've known all of my life, a man whose word is gold. A man, when he tells you something, you can believe it absolutely. And he has been pretty non-political, I would say, all of his life. I wouldn't hazard a guess as to who he's going to vote for this time around. But I think he's got a story to tell us that exemplifies what's going on, what's happening to the working man in America right now. And I thought of you, many of you might like to hear it just absolutely firsthand. We've got my friend John. John, are you with us?
Yes, Guy. How are you doing?
Good. And you're talking to us from good old Bucyrus, Ohio.
Ohio, yes, I am.
Bratwurst capital of the world, I understand.
I think that's true.
I hear you're having your festival this weekend.
Yes, it's going strong right now. We have a pretty nice sunny day, a little cooler than the average August day, but no rain, so...
I think a lot of folks that have never been to a Bratwurst Festival, you have to experience it in Bucyrus, Ohio. Of course, they call it the Bratwurst Capital of the World, and when the festival's going on for 5 miles around, whatever way the wind's blowing, for 5 miles out of town, you can smell that delicious stuff cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had one right now.
There you go.
Yeah. John... the reason we asked you to come on the program today is, as you know, and I know you're not very political, and you've told me that. And I just wanted to have you on today to pound down the notion of what's happening here in the country with the working man. I know you've been a hard-working guy all your life. I know you're not a rich man, but you've kept your nose to the grindstone, and I know you've been loyal to a company. You work for Whirlpool, right?
Yes, I do.
And what do you do? Tell us about Whirlpool, where you work, what you make, and what you do.
Well, basically, I work at in Marion, Ohio, at a Whirlpool distribution center. We have a manufacturing facility, then we have a distribution center that's connected with it, and I work in the warehousing and the moving of the product out the door to the customer.
And these are what, washers and dryers?
Yes, mostly dryers is what we manufacture there, but we do have a number of different appliances in our distribution center facility.
And I think I looked up on the Internet. It appears to me that Whirlpool is the second largest distributor of appliances in the world.
Yeah, well, see, they say they're number one. See, that's a big thing, number one.
Oh.
Number one's the big thing. They would probably dispute you on that, and that's probably, you know, that seems to be the problem over the years to me, everybody wanting to be that big guy and being number one.
Yeah. Actually, wouldn't it be better just to be the best?
Yes.
I don't want to say anything about Whirlpool's products because I've owned Whirlpool products, and I know they're excellent products and have been over the years, and I've always been satisfied. That's not what this is about. John, how long have you worked for Whirlpool?
Well, I've been there well over 30 years.
How much over 30 years?
37.
37 years. And you're not anywhere near retirement age, are you?
No, not with our benefits, not because of my age is what holds me back. If I was a number of years older, I started young, and so that if I was to retire, I would lose a considerable percentage of my retirement benefit.
And so you don't have a union there. That's why you didn't have a 30 and out.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, tell us what's happened to you lately.
Well, our facility, along with three other facilities in Ohio, in Findlay, Ohio, and Clyde, Ohio, they're basically all three the same. They have a manufacturing facility in each town, and then they have a distribution center connected. And these are large facilities. I mean, each one employs close to 3,000 people. They came along a few months ago, and they let us know that there was a study going on that they were going to possibly outsource each distribution center to a private company, and supposedly there's cost saving things, and so we finally were told that given the word a couple months ago that was going to take place. And so,
well, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. What if you don't mind me asking, the average guy in your work area there, what was he making an hour?
Our guys were making in the $16-$17 an hour range, and you know, anyone in the country knows that no one gets rich making that at all. But
sure.
They always seem to make that sound like that when we have the meetings, that we are just so unbelievably paid, and there's just, that's not the truth.
Well, let's see, that translates, let me see here, what a little, $30,000 a year or so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's nobody wealthy on that.
No.
Kind of a...
No, you're not talking about the upper crust here. So, what about this new outfit? What are they going to pay you?
Well, there's two different companies. We had a couple different ones taking over the other facilities, and a company called Genco taking over ours. And if you were to figure it out, that between the benefits and the hourly rate, we wouldn't even make half. The hourly rate was, like $6 an hour less, and then the benefits were going to just, we already pay for some of our benefits, but the cost of their benefits were just going to be outlandish. And so, you know, it's just a no-brainer for, you know, let me put it straight, I'm not out of a job. I have the option, there will be many people out of a job. So a lot of the salary people are losing their jobs in these facilities. The hourlies at our facility, and I'm sure the others, all have a opportunity to go back to their manufacturing facility. But the catch there is that a lot of these guys have worked for years to get on the shifts they want. For instance, days, I'm on days. And many of these guys have worked for years to get on days. And
well, I would hope after 37 years you might get the day shift.
Right. And now, see, with the going back to the shop, there's no jobs available on days. They have to go back on the afternoon or the midnight shift, and you know that's just terrible what they're doing.
Well, so if you stay what you're doing, you're going to be making half the money you were.
Right, and I don't think anybody's going to be doing that.
I was looking through. I thought to myself after you told me this story, I thought, well, why would Whirlpool be doing this? Naturally, it's a cost-saving move. And I thought, gee whiz, they must be having a hard time. So I looked up Whirlpool's financial statements here. From last year to this year, they've had a 15% increase in sales with no increase in employees. They've got about 68,000 employees. And, you know, it's a move to pay the stockholders more. That's what it is, plain and simple. This is not a company that hasn't been competitive. They're extremely competitive with everybody else. Like I said, quality-wise, in 2000, they made $3.67 billion, and this year they took a huge dive in 2002, and now they're back up, and they're very strong in 2004. So this isn't something where this company came along and said, oh, gee, in order to save the company, we have to do this. This appears to me that is just going to put a few dollars more in the fat cat's pocket and take it away from the working man.
You sort of took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, how do your coworkers feel about this?
Oh, they're aggravated, but it surprises me how much that people will sit back and take things sometimes, and I'm not one to do that. I don't ever cause any friction, but when I think we're being taken advantage of like this situation, the people, the management at our facility know, they definitely know how I feel about it, and it's just... it's not right. There's people, these employees of our company are so loyal, and they have no idea that the company itself has, they have no feeling for them. If they close the plant's doors tomorrow in all three of these facilities in Ohio, the Michigan, the corporate people wouldn't blink an eye over that. And you'd have all these thousands of people outstanding in the welfare line because they lost their jobs. It just, I just can't get over how the employee is, I feel that I owe them nothing but an honest day's work. I used to be so super loyal to them and have been forced through the years to do so many overtime days. I've put my share of 12 and 16 hour days in with anybody. Many of the hours, forced hours, where I had no choice. Didn't make any difference what I was doing after work or before work. Didn't make any difference. So I just find it so silly that people are so sometimes idolized the company they work for when it's a one-way street.
It is definitely a one-way street. Now, John, I know at this time in your life you've got a daughter in college.
Correct.
Not a cheap time in your life, most certainly.
Right.
I think a lot of people find they got the youngster in college. It's an expensive time in your life. And you've been on day shift for how many years?
Well, I've been on days for most of all of my years, probably, maybe close to 35 years.
Yeah, and now they'll upset the apple cart. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just looking at my options, I'm going to, basically, we have until October 18th. Some of the people have bid out and went back to the plan already. It's starting to... See, that's another thing. They brought in these new people. See, they're bringing in new people.
Now they're not going to ask you.
They've expected us to train these non-Whirlpool people for a facility that's coming in that's a non-Whirlpool company. And I told my immediate supervisor that I wasn't going to train anybody like that. You want me to train someone to take my job that's not even a Whirlpool person or not even going to be working for a Whirlpool company? I said, what do you expect from us? But of course they're being trained and see I have no nothing against these people coming in. That's fine. But they'll learn the jobs and they'll do the job. That's not something either. They'll do the job, do it just as good as we did. But there'll be a big turnover rate. People will see that they can't make a living at $9 an hour and with hardly any benefits, they'll move on. And
well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a real I don't know how to ask this question. I guess I won't ask the question I was going to ask, but I just wonder, you've said you're looking at all your options.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the fat cats, and we'll probably hear from some of them today on this program. If not, we'll hear from email from them. What do you say to those fat cats that look at you and say, hey, I made it, so can you. You just put your nose to the grindstone and work like I have, and you can make $1 million too. I don't think that people that are in that position, I don't think the guy at the top of Whirlpool, for example, is capable of understanding what's going on here.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, I think they're so, the word I use is phony. When they came down to tell us, give us the official word, our people were in the office along with our immediate management at the location, and then there was a corporate guy that was there that was involved in this. Corporation is out of Michigan, and by the way, Michigan, being from Ohio, I always, after I thought about this, I thought, Woody Hayes was pretty right about that state up north, but that's just another matter. But these people can't relate to us. They're so much like many politicians. they don't have a clue. Many of these guys don't know what the word work means. They'd have a hard time defining it. This little savings of $5 million. Why, my goodness, that's probably just going to go in the pockets of just a very few of the top officials in Whirlpool Corporation.
That might just be a bonus for your CEO.
It could very well be, but I would imagine he would probably balk at that little of a bonus than likely.
Yeah. No, it's a shame. You know, the division of the classes are getting wider and wider, and it's a terrifying thing to happen to America. John, I want to thank you for being with us today.
Sure,
I think a lot of people are going to find this very interesting. We hear these stories, but it's good to hear one firsthand. I wish you the very best with whatever decision you make, and I'll be talking to you soon in the future.
Well, Guy, I appreciate the opportunity to be on. It does make my blood pressure go up a little bit, but I sometimes have to vent that and say what I feel.
Well, thanks very much, John, for being with us today.
Okay, Guy. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Well, there you have it. There's just a firsthand story that's happening millions of times all across this country. Lots and lots and lots of times. A company that, once again, I want to tell you the name of that company is Whirlpool. Just remember that next time you're out and about and buying things. So just put in a good word for them, huh? Well, we've got Dave in California. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. It's just so good to be able to hear a voice of reality on the radio coming to us from Florida. You're talking to an angry psychologist. I'm of the belief that our White House has been stolen by a serious group of psychopaths, criminal psychopaths. I believe that we're in Iraq strictly for oil profits. I believe that in every way possible, this administration is trying to rip off the working and the poor for whom they have utter contempt. I've been trying to send you an email of my latest fear. I don't know if it gets through. It has the title of it says Message Being Messed With.
Yeah, just send it to Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com. I don't get my email here at the station, but I will certainly get it when I get back to my office.
Well, this particular one is just on the news, and it came ever so fleetingly the other day, that they're switching all the funds, the operations of the U.S. Treasury, onto the Internet, of all things.
Oh.
And the Internet is very easily invaded by federal high-tech hackers. And I have the fear that we're going to have yet a third Pearl Harbor. Are you familiar with the book, The New Pearl Harbor, David Griffin?
I know a little bit about it.
Well, it's possible, I think, that we will all of a sudden learn that terrorists have invaded our Internet and that we no longer have any Social Security funds or any safety funds.
And you're not talking about the kind of terrorists that from Iraq either, are you?
No, I'm talking about the same cartel goons putting all the money in their pockets, the ones that are stuffing their pockets in Iraq, the ones that are ripping us off, stealing as much as they can, as fast as they can, every way that they can from us.
I've said all along that this is a smash-and-grab administration.
Yeah, and somehow with radio talk show hosts spinning us, convincing us that they're, it's unpatriotic to think a moment of reality of what we're up against.
Yes, they would love you to believe that, wouldn't they? We've heard that so much.
And they've got some people believing it. I don't know how many, but there are still a few out there that think that that's, we're totally disloyal to question this wonderful Christian folks up there.
More than a few, my friend. More than a few.
Frightful number. You got a few of them down there in Florida, and that's another cause of concern, isn't it?
Oh, it most certainly is. What with the story that came out this week with the oldest story in the book when it comes to elections up in Orlando, they're going to some of the black folks' homes that have requested absentee ballots and investigating them and letting it be known all around town, we're going to come and investigate you. And they've done that over the years how many times to the black community to terrify them so that they don't go near the polls.
Some wonderful congressmen and senators put in legislation to make, if there's going to be a voting machine, it has to be verifiable. And every one of them has been blocked by none other than Tom Lay. So that does tell us pretty clear cut which side does intend to rig this election if they can.
I think a lot of people do not have a clue as to how powerful Tom DeLay actually is. He decides what's going to come up before the House and what isn't, and he's you know, he's literally cast aside anything he personally doesn't want. And so, hey, Dave, thanks for calling.
Thank you, guy. Keep it up, brother.
Do appreciate hearing from you.
Bye-bye.
We've got, we've got Julio on from Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, guy?
A lot.
Yeah, I know. Well, before we get into the whole politics thing, I just want to say for the people who live here in South Florida with us who went through this, Arcadia really needs a lot of help. I went through there, you know, I do mortgage inspections for a living, and Arcadia was just crushed. I mean, as bad as Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte is, if anybody's seen it on TV, Arcadia is about 10 times worse. And there's no one there helping those people. So, you know, any help that anybody could send to people in Arcadia would be wonderful. But then into the politics thing, I've been out of town for a few weeks, so I haven't been able to listen to what you guys have been talking about. I just want to see if I understand what these Swift boat people are saying. See if I got it correct. Okay, John Kerry, they keep saying that he spent, you know, one tour in Nam. Actually, he spent two.
That's right.
Right. So they want to say that he did this whole thing because he knew 30 years ago that he would one day be running for president of the United States.
Yes, sir. Planned it all for 30 years.
Right. He planned it all. So according to them, he went to Vietnam one time and he figured, okay, I want to be president, so maybe I should go back. And then he goes back. And then he says, well, I have this grenade launcher here. Let me go ahead and fire it into this tree here, and I'll stand at this exact distance to make sure that only one shrapnel hits me and not any other one, so that way I can look brave. And then he went ahead and, you know, he shot himself a couple more times, so that way, you know, he could look brave and want to fight.
Well, you know, Julio, the way I got it figured, he's also got to go ashore. He's got to get off his boat.
Right.
And he's got to go ashore, and he's got to talk to the Viet Cong.
Right.
And he's got to convince them, hey, guys, just nick me a little. Don't really shoot me. You shoot at me all you want, but shoot high or low, and maybe, you know, wound me a little bit. But you've got to get them to cooperate as well.
I mean, when you're starting to get to the point where you're talking about a man jumping in front of bullets, okay, in order to go home early, I mean, that's a little sick. You know, the one who's really aggravating is, of course, you know, Hannity. I mean, he sits there and says, oh, I don't know what happened, but it's only 60 people and 250 people with affidavits against Kerry. But, I mean, really what they're doing is that they're calling Kerry a liar. They're calling everybody who was on his boat a liar. They're calling the United States Navy liars. I mean, can you imagine if one of these groups or if that same group came out and said that Colin Powell doesn't deserve his medals or whatever it was that he has? And do you think that the White House would be saying, well, we disagree with all the ads? No, I mean, they condemn it and they say this is ridiculous. And that should just show everybody exactly how much Bush cares about veterans, because John Kerry is a veteran, and look at the treatment that he's getting from the Bush campaign, whereas if he cared about veterans, he would say, you know what, John Kerry is an honorable veteran, and we need to respect him, but that's not good enough because he's running against him. And for the gentleman you were interviewing, he just needs to take comfort, you know, I mean, it's not so bad. Iraq is free, you know, and they're holding free elections, you know, I mean, the whole thing about people losing their jobs, you know, that's on the backside. You know, we need to free Iraq. Maybe we can, you know, go into some other country who has never attacked us and invade them, and maybe everybody who's losing their jobs will feel a lot better. And as far as the last thing, the response that Kerry did yesterday, saying that he's the type of leader who would not sit around for 7 minutes reading My Pet Goat to a bunch of children while the country is under attack, I thought it was wonderful. And why did he take so long to do it? And I'm thinking, you know, the majority of the country has never seen that video of Bush sitting in front of these children, you know, scared as hell, after he was told that the country was under attack. And I thought a great ad would be to actually show the video.
I know people who have refused to look at it.
Right. And then the last ad that Bush came out with saying that, oh, I couldn't imagine what would be tougher about, you know, which children to pick up first because every second counts, and have him playing that every second counts with the images of him sitting there with the deer in the headlight look, trying to figure out what does the country under attack mean exactly. What should I do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane, dude. And these people have nothing. You know, the fact that he's been president for 4 years and they can't sit there and say, look, this is what I've done, this is what I've done, this is what I've done. Look at all the things I've done to make the country better and vote for me. Instead, they have to basically say, well, yeah, I know I've done a bad job, but look, Kerry's a whole lot worse.
Yeah, you know, an incumbent president has got to be able to run on his record.
Right, you know. know, don't, in other words, what he's saying is, don't give me four more years. Give me a second chance. I know I've screwed up, and I know things have gone wrong, but, you know, we can fix it together or whatever. I mean, it's just a joke, and they have nothing. And this whole thing is going to go away. I mean, do you think Bush is going to be able to say that in a debate, that he's going to sit there and tell Kerry, hey, Kerry, you know what, you didn't deserve your medals, and you did it all along because you wanted to run for president. I mean, that's the whole point. They're playing to their crowd, and nobody's listening to that. The only one who's listening to that is their crowd. And Hannity was funny on Thursday. I thought he was going to cry on Thursday.
How many times did you hear him say devastating about this new ad came out? He was saying it every 2 minutes. Devastating.
Right, right. No, it was wonderful. I was cracking up. That was the best show ever, man. He sounded like if he was about to break down and start crying.
His voice starts getting real high-pitched like it, folks. I'm telling you, this is going to be devastating.
Right, and then he's complaining about the ads being pulled and the Kerry people complaining, but then, you know, he was the first one to say the Reagan movie, oh, that needs to be taken off. You know,
yeah.
Why couldn't people decide for their own whether or not the Reagan movie was true or not? You know, but no, let's get that out of the way, because that's our God, you know, that's our Jesus, our baby Jesus, you know what I mean?
It's yeah. Well, it's
you gotta take it easy, man. Good luck.
Hey, thanks for your call, Julio. Always good to hear from you. Hey, once you give us a call, we're going to stop for the news here at the top of the hour, and you're 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally. We've got a lot to talk about the rest of this show. A whole lot to talk about, and I hope you'll participate in it. It's always good to have you along, and once again, all of our friends out there on the Internet, all over the country, all over the world right now, and all of our local folks here as well. Know a lot of the local folks probably aren't listening today because they don't have any power back, but we'll deal with it. But anyway, you're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida, and we'll be back right after the news. You stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Pakistan says it has arrested at least 5 terrorists linked to Al-Qaeda who were plotting suicide attacks on President Musharraf's residence, the Parliament building, and the U.S. Embassy. I'm Steve Taylor. Not among those arrested, apparently, was Abu Faraj, a Libyan believed to be in Pakistan. ABC News has learned that intelligence analysts conclude he is the new operational chief of Al-Qaeda. Former FBI agent Jack Clunan says Faraj represents a new generation of terrorists.
One common thread that they have that unites them is that they're disaffected and they're anti-U.S., whatever that means, and they feel a calling to a higher order.
The State Department's issuing a new warning to Americans against traveling in the Middle East and North Africa, saying terrorists could use yesterday's Justice Department indictment of 3 alleged Hamas members as an excuse to target U.S. citizens and interests in the region. John Kerry, under TV commercial attack about his conduct during the Vietnam War, has gotten some help from another former Navy Swift Boat commander who says he was there on the day of Kerry's actions in 1969. William Rood, now a journalist with the Chicago Tribune, says he broke his silence because Kerry's critics are telling stories that are untrue. Rood also said the retired admiral, now leading the criticism, congratulated him and Kerry and other Swift Boat sailors at the time. In West Virginia, a man who heckled President Bush recently at a rally has been fired from his job as a graphic designer because a client of the company complained. Glenn Hiller says it's ironic that after he was escorted out, the president talked about people being able to speak their minds.
I was thinking to myself the following day, I thought, you know, a free country where you can voice your opinion, get escorted out of the event and threatened with arrest and lose your job, that's different than my definition of free country.
8 days after Hurricane Charley cut a swath across Florida, more than 100,000 residents remain without electricity, but the numbers who were in the dark were well over 1 million. This is ABC News.
Imagine all the instruments you hear playing are actually pictures created by different printers. Sounds fine now, but over time those pictures would fade. One by one by one. With one exception. The picture made with Epson DuraBright inks. The only inks that give you pictures which actually resist fading, water, and smudging. Because anything else just doesn't play. For more information, visit Epson.com.
It's back to school time, and if you want a great deal, buy the Epson Stylus CX6400 All-in-One with DuraBright inks and get a $20 mail-in rebate from Epson, plus a $30 rebate from select retailers. See Epson.com for Epson rebate details. Now available at Best Buy, Circuit City, CompUSA, and Microsoft.
Have you looked into buying a family home theater lately? Hey, where do you start? Big screen TV or projector? In-wall speakers or towers? The paper is full of dozens of receivers, DVD players, and how about all those remotes? Well, I finally figured it out. I went to Sound Advice. Sound Advice laid it all out in plain English. No blaring music or pushy salespeople. Sound Advice has home theater packages for any taste or budget. They put together the best brands, test them themselves, and guarantee a great price. You could even have a Sound Advice digital architect integrate your new system into your home so the picture and sound are perfect. It's just what you need for watching movies or the big game. Yeah, they'll even program you a single remote so mere mortals like us can use it. Sound Advice Home and Mobile Entertainment, a smarter way to buy. Save $400 on the Mitsubishi 48-inch projection TV. Now only $1,499 with no money down, no interest, and no payments for 2 years.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neal, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neal, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit RobertNealForCongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Here's a message from Northern Tool and Equipment. Because of the hurricane, Northern Tool and Equipment is bringing in extra supplies of generators, chainsaws, flashlights, water pumps, temporary power sources, tarps, and other cleanup supplies. Northern Tool and Equipment is here and ready to help. Northern Tool and Equipment stores are located on South Tamiami Trail, south of 6 Mile Cypress, and on North Cleveland Avenue, south of Pine Island Road. Again, Northern Tool and Equipment is bringing in extra storm supplies and cleanup supplies such as generators, chainsaws, flashlights, water pumps, tarps, and more. Northern is ready and here to help. Northern Tool and Equipment stores located on South Tamiami Trail, south of 6 Mile Cypress, and on North Cleveland Avenue, south of Pine Island Road.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Remember the election of 2000? Frightening. But we can all thank our lucky stock portfolios that when the shouting and those silly recounts were over, the Bush-Cheney team emerged with a clear 5-4 majority. Well, we don't want to go through that again. So you can bet your last $1 million that the next election won't be all messy. No dimpled ballots, no hanging chads, in fact, no paper at all. Thanks to our good friends at Diebold and their touchscreen voting machine, we can ensure that swing states swing our way. Just think, Chad will be just another country to liberate, and all Americans can look forward to 4 more wars. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Kick off the billionaire!
As I understand it, you've built a prototype of this space elevator.
That is correct, yes.
I think I heard it engage, General.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
We are rising now thousands of feet.
Take it down.
I'm sorry, General James. What happened?
What does it sound like? Take it down. Push down and let's go.
General Jameson, have you had to abort?
Yeah, you might say that.
Get filled. 10 p.m. weeknights on Power Talk 1200.
Thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. We're back with you. Guy James here at the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic liberal talk show. Why are we number one? Because we're the only one that professes to be liberal and democratic, damn it. That's what we are. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Locally, call us at 479-5540. I've got to get something off my chest. I listened to a lot of this week. The batteries in the radio, we didn't have any power. We went through a lot of batteries. But anyway, you know, how much of this stuff can you stand before your cork just pops? You know, it hit me the other day that these, well, to be kind, I'll just call them lion bastards who are attacking John Kerry's honorable military record. They've indicted the honorable records of every man or woman who ever served in the military and got an award. Now, you stick with me on this. They would have us believe that the records of the United States Navy are not credible. They would have us believe that any soldier or sailor could ask for and get for a military combination if he or she wanted it. So, all of my Republican friends, I guess they want us to believe that we cannot accept any of your medals as being honorably gained either. Isn't that right? If you can't believe John Cheney's, you can't believe yours either. You know, I guess nobody who earned a medal in our country's service can be believed anymore. That's what you're getting at. So all of you who have just returned from service in Afghanistan or Iraq, just take your medals and throw them in the bottom drawer, because the Republicans tell us we can't believe the United States Army, Navy, Marines, or Coast Guard, or Air Force anymore when they tell us you've earned a medal. But on second thought, maybe I've got that wrong. Perhaps it's only the Democrats who are lying about their military honors. That's probably it, huh? Sure, that's it. It's those damn lying Democrats we can't believe. John Kerry, Bob Kerry, Max Cleland, everybody knows what, you know. Charlie Rangel. You know, here's the point. If John F. Kennedy were alive today and running for president, this Swift Boat Liars group would be trashing his record, too. You know they would. All that PT-109 stuff about JFK swimming that channel night after night, narrowly escaping the Japanese patrol boat, even had a song out about it. That had to be a bunch of hooey, huh? Sure it was, because Kennedy was a Democrat. No, sir, it's probably only the Republicans who have those honorable military records. Guys like George Bush or Dick Cheney or maybe Rush Limbaugh or Joe Scarborough. Or how about the great patriot war hero Saxby Chambliss, or Denny Hastert? They probably all got a chest full of medals since they're the ultimate war hawks. I'll bet that Bush and Cheney volunteered for Vietnam just like Kerry claims he did. And since they're guys who seem to love war, they probably earned some real medals, unlike Kerry's fake ones, huh? Yeah, this has been an eye-opener for me. Damn lying war hero Democrats. Give me an honest-to-goodness Texas Air National Guard pilot who qualified with the lowest possible score any old time. Give me a coke-sniffing, drunken playboy who mysteriously came up missing for most of his guard duty. Give me that any old day. George Bush is my military hero. They would have you believe that with a straight face. They would have you believe that. My God, people, what the hell is wrong with you? Any one of you playing this game about Kerry's medals and his service, you got to be out of your mind. How much do these guys have to be humiliated on TV, these O'Neill guys? They get humiliated over and over and over again, and still they stick their ugly mugs on every show that they can get on. Every one of these right-wingers has them on proclaiming that, 260 of them are all telling the truth, and the Democrats are all liars. This is a United States senator we're talking about here. Didn't hear a damn thing about that for 35 years, did we? Did you know some of these guys have said what a great military hero Kerry was in the past, but now all of a sudden they've changed their minds? They're lower than low. They're garbage. They're garbage. And if you believe this stuff without checking it out, so are you. This is the most gutter, lousy, dirty politics that's ever happened. And you know why? Because these people are desperate. I told you some time ago, being a farm boy, that there's nothing more terrifying than a cornered rat. These people are in a corner and they've got their teeth bared and they're willing to do anything, anything it takes. And I mean anything. If the polls continue to say what they've been saying, you've not seen anything yet. This is the most low-down group of politicians that's ever been inside the Beltway, and they're proving it every single day. God, I need a blood pressure pill. Better go to the phones. That's always good for me. Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Howdy.
Really, take a chill pill now.
I need to. I'm telling you, Jeff, I maybe this is what they're after, but I just could chew nails over this.
No, you're right. It's despicable, but it's not surprising.
No.
As I was going to ask you and your listening audience a question. Has anyone ever seen John O'Neill and John Ashcroft in the same room?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know, quickly mentioned, we might mention that this John O'Neill, who says he never was much of a Republican and then finds out he's given tons of money to him and everything and also was seeking a federal judgeship appointment. Forgot to mention that on TV.
I really think that a certain level of this with O'Neill is pure, raw jealousy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at him 35 years later and look at Kerry.
Yeah.
He's a bloated, you know, baggy face and just seething with ugliness and hate. And here's Kerry, you know, vibrant and still good looking and got a great wife and has a great life. I just think he's seething with jealousy.
Ever since that humiliation on the Cabot Show, you bet that's been burning inside him.
And this nonsense that, you know, he's not a Republican and they're not aligned with the Republicans. And, of course, we found out that, indeed, the Swift Boat Vets are appearing at Bush rallies. And it's going to blow up in his face. I mean, for Bush to allow them to make war records an issue, he's going to be humiliated by this.
Well,
because they're going to someone, and I think it's going to be MSNBC. I think MSNBC is finally starting to realize that they're looking at the success of 9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11, the success of Air America Radio, the success of the Edwards and Kerry rallies compared to the canned BS that Bush is doing, and they're going, you know, there's only so much market at the bottom, and CNN and Fox are scrambling to see who can go lower. They do something like Thursday night, where Hardball, Countdown, and Deborah Norville did a trifecta of actual honest journalism, and you know they got thousands of emails and phone calls and faxes saying, bravo, keep it up. So,
yeah.
I think that someone is going to go hard after the AWOL story, and he is not going to look good after that.
If they ever do.
And I guess someone else is saying somewhere on Democratic Underground today that you want to get Bush to blow, go for his manhood.
Yeah.
Because he's so thin-skinned, he's going to blow up.
He is thin-skinned. He absolutely is. You know, as somebody sent me this, and I'll just quote what these people said here. In fact, I think it did come from ZB Dent on Democratic Underground. The plain and simple definition of the difference between W and Kerry. Bush left the lap of luxury to fight a war from behind several thousand miles and thousands of troops and hundreds serving on an aircraft carrier and dozens of Secret Service agents. Kerry left the lap of luxury to fight a war from behind a gun on a swift boat in Vietnam. End of comparison. It's that simple.
No, that's it. And you know, Bush could have said, stop this, and he would have come off much better.
Of course.
But he's too stupid. Thank goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just too stupid. Well, have you, since a report from the New York Bureau.
Yes.
Have you heard what Bloomberg is doing up here?
I hear they're sanitizing all the streets again and all, getting all the homeless out and all that.
But they also have this new program where if you promise to be a good protester,
ooh,
they give you a button.
Ooh.
And you get like $2 off the cob salad at Applebee's.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, it's true.
Not the Applebee's part.
Well, I don't know that's just an example. But you do. You wear this button and you get discounts at, you know, certain theater events. You get, I think, a free admission to the sex museum.
Well, does someone keep in a chart and, like, putting gold stars on it and everything for you, and then you're done, you get the button?
I think you just have to sign an affidavit, you know, a,
Oh, I see.
Like,
you know, I got to tell you something, Jeff, and I bet you agree with me. If I were going to go to a Kerry rally right here in my hometown, if I went to walk in that Kerry rally and they made me sign a statement before I walked in, and I, as you know, I'm all for John Kerry. If they asked me to sign a statement declaring my loyalty, I would tell them to stick that thing where the sun doesn't shine.
I don't believe Democrats would ever do that. Democrats,
never.
Democrats aren't afraid of the protesters.
No. John Kerry.
Republicans were afraid.
That's right. And he's got to be in front of a sanitized audience. Let me give you a perfect example why the guy's got to be in front of a sanitized audience. Some of you have heard this already. Here we go. Hope you haven't heard
it. What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. I mean, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
There, folks, there's the reason they're having those sanitized meetings. God, the most powerful band in the world right there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, up is up, you know, up is not the other direction.
Oh.
It's the up to this.
It's so embarrassing, so embarrassing that this man is the President of the United States. It really is. Jeff, thanks for your call.
You're welcome anytime.
Always great to hear from you.
And remember, listener-supported radio needs listener support.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later in the program.
Good.
We will. Thank
Goodbye.
You, Jeff. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that was the most powerful man in the world explaining sovereignty. Did you hear the laugh in the middle of that? Can you imagine being the President of the United States talking in front of people and they're laughing at you because they know you're stupid? Oh, man. Got Mike in Cape Coral. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. Glad you survived the wrath of Charlie.
Yeah, and you too, buddy.
We have to know it was a Republican hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. How goes it for you right now? What do you think? What's happening, Mike?
Well, Guy, I was without power for 3 days, and I survived that. But the only hard part was afterwards listening to all these right-wingers on the radio, on my battery-powered radio, you know.
Well, you don't get mad and throw your radio or anything, do you?
I almost did, yeah.
I know. I've hit the dashboard on my car a time or two.
Yeah.
Then I turn it off.
It's pathetic how scared they are, you know.
That they are. It's utter desperation. Everybody can see that.
You can see it, yeah.
Locally here, what do you think? We've got a couple of candidates up. What do you think?
I think we're in good shape here. I think Betty Kessler is going to take the Senate. I think Robert Neal will get the House.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Bowles will get the County Commissioner.
We sure hope so. We're pushing hard, folks. The local Democrats here in Lee and Collier County are working very, very, very hard, much harder than I've ever seen a group work, and it's exhilarating, I got to tell you.
Well, one thing is united us. That's one good thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right. Mike, thanks for your call.
Well, I'm glad you're all right.
Yeah, it's so good to hear from you, and good to hear you're all right, too, my friend. Every time we hear one of our friends and went through the hurricane okay, it makes us feel just a little bit better.
Well, I was telling my friends the other day, I guess I must be blessed a little bit because I've survived two earthquakes, a volcano eruption, and now a hurricane.
And the George Bush administration.
George Bush, 3.5 years, yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
Good to hear from you.
All right.
Let's go to Charles in Sanibel. Charles, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Guy?
Great.
It's hot here.
Yeah, I know.
No power. I'm listening to you on a battery powered radio, talking to you on a plug-in phone. It's like a throwback.
Yeah, I went through that thing this week.
There's like a reality show here or something. Call it Power Outrage.
Yeah. Good one.
So, I wanted to relay a story to you. I was talking to one of my friends that's canvassing the Orlando area for Kerry, and as I was talking to him on the phone, a police officer came up to him and asked him what he was doing there. He had a Kerry button. He has his clipboard. He's a former first Gulf War veteran, owned his own business, sold it recently, decided that he'd had enough and needed to do something to change what's going on. Well, the police officer officer, after asking, I listened to this, and he told him what he was doing. The police officer asked him for his ID, and he went to run his license to check for any outstanding warrants, which is a step that the police officer shouldn't have taken, because it was daylight hours. He obviously wasn't committing any crime. He wasn't a suspect for any crime. There was no crime that he could have been a suspect for, because no crime was committed. And it's just wrong. I mean, that's just a small example. And when I heard the story, I talked to him just after I heard the story about the people in Orlando being intimidated in their own homes. And this has really got to energize people that we're going to have to do everything we can to overcome. They're not going to stop at this.
It's like playing a basketball game with a team. The other side's got seven men playing. I mean, that's what it's going to be like.
And sometimes, you know, I take a deep breath and I get really discouraged. But after hearing your friend on the phone talk about what's happening in his job, I have to ask a really serious question. Why do people? There's millions of people just like him, Joe Lunchpail, that make between $30,000 and $50,000, and they will defend this president so vehemently over a guy that will give tax cuts to just the people making $200,000-$300,000 a year, meanwhile shifting all the tax burden to you. And I just don't understand the psychology of it. Don't they understand that he is spitting on them?
Oh, it's because he's a good born-again Christian.
Is it the Christian thing?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that they're afraid of the brown people over in Saudi Arabia, in Iran? Is it that? Is it a combination of the two? I don't know. I wish someone would explain it to me, because I just don't see how they can go to the polls without a brain.
What's been off the news this week is the I always want to say Vietnam War, the Iraq War. Do people understand that we're not fighting terror over there? We're doing nothing more than trying to keep those people from having a civil war so we can keep control? I mean, that's all that's about. These guys talk about, the United Nations trying to take away the sovereignty of the United States of America, and we're never going to let our troops be under UN control. They're under Iraq control right now.
Well, certainly... Certainly what George Bush, I understand, has been able to unite is the Sunnis and the Shiites.
Oh, yeah.
They're closer than they ever have been. This operation that we're doing near Najaf and near that second most holy place in all of Islam, that temple, that's just going to enrage the rest of the Muslim world against us. This is going to go down in history as one of the biggest blunders. And none of us will be safe for years. It's frightening.
No question about it. He has united them. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Charles. Do appreciate your call. Let's see. Who's next here on this big old board? We got lights flashing everywhere. Going to go to Eric in Vermont. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good afternoon, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
Listen, I'd like to let you know that I'm going to donate some more money, and in hopes of some of your audience and some of our members of DU, I would like to hopefully try to spur on some more support for your show.
Thank you.
No problem. I have many issues. I love the basketball analogy. I've had that analogy of the high school team sports and the attitude of the American people, where people are so locked in to being programmed by the media and by ideological nonsense that they won't go outside of that. And it's my team versus your team. I don't know if I would use the seven members basketball thing. It's more like sort of a football field, and the kid gets his leg broken on the other side. That was a good call because the official missed the call.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that happens in reverse, foul, that's not good.
It's
a double standard kind of thing that I think we're playing off too much with the media in terms of the Clinton-Bush. Oh, it's not fair to question Bush about his military service. But boy, let's sit there, and we won't even say we have anything to do with it, and I just think that's really sad. I have some other things. The Kennedy thing you mentioned probably about 15 minutes ago, in terms of the PT-109, there was some little flusters back in 1960 during the Nixon-Kennedy race, where they were questioning some of the validity of some of the patriotism of Kennedy in terms of the validity of his heroics during that period.
Can you imagine how it would be today?
We are imagining how it is.
Yes, we are seeing it.
Imagine much more than what we are experiencing. I don't want to, at least. I think another thing I wanted to say, I'm just sort of blowing around with the media here, the idea of the Bryant Cole Peterson murder trial is getting so much airtime when there's so many more important issue-oriented types of news, types of things that the American people could be listening to that the media doesn't offer to them. I mean, I look back at the Ken Starr with Congress, and I said, Jesus Christ, with Clinton, if they spent $65 million to investigate all the stuff that's going on with this administration, my goodness gracious, they wouldn't even need half that much, and 10 of those guys would be doing a lot of time in Leavenworth.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
And basically, I'll just sort of be quiet here and let you feed off.
Well, Eric, I thank you so much for calling. We appreciate hearing from our listeners. We thank you for donating to the show. That's important. And it's good to have you as a listener. Thanks very much. It's Eric in Vermont, the beautiful, beautiful state of Vermont. Let's go to Jim in Fort Myers. Jim, welcome to the show.
Guy, thanks for having me on. I'm a first-time listener, and it is wonderful to have you and your type of show on.
Well, thank you.
Let me start by the previous caller had mentioned that our troops are under the control of Iraq. I would have to disagree with that. I think they're under the control of Unocal and Halliburton.
That's closer.
Right. I think that's more accurate. Going back to the earlier caller about Whirlpool, there are a couple of points that I think are important to reinforce out of that story of job loss. And the first is that he mentioned, I believe, that he is not union.
Right.
People in America, particularly in private industry, need to wake up and recognize that their bosses do not work without contracts. Their CEOs do not work without extensive contracts that guarantee them fantastic benefits, fantastic bonuses, and golden parachutes in the event that they are displaced from employment, voluntarily or otherwise.
And in many cases, whether they perform well or not.
Most of the time, they don't.
Yeah.
And to get them out, we give them a golden parachute and send them on their way. There is no downside once you've got a Harvard MBA and you can get into a Fortune 500 company. As CEO, you have arrived because your job performance, unlike, you know, the working class folks who keep their jobs only if they perform, that's not the case for CEOs. So people collectively need to recognize the importance of unions, again, in this country, and collectively stand up for their working conditions and for their wages and their benefits and have them put in a contract the same way their bosses do, so that these types of things can't happen without them being done at the collective bargaining table.
Well, a lot of these folks were warned about this many years ago when the shops were trying to organize and they said, no, things are great, we don't need a union. Well, look at it now.
Right, and the other thing economically, the other point of that is that when these moves are made by these major corporations, from an economic standpoint, this kind of philosophy by CEOs is becoming known in this country as a race to the bottom. We are trying to compete with third world labor by racing our wages and benefits to the bottom, and even someone as anti-union as Henry Ford understood economically that it didn't do his company any good to have employees paid such that they couldn't afford his own products.
That's exactly what when we talked to John, I talked to him off the air. He said they've got dryers. Whirlpool has dryers that cost $1,200. Some
right.
Some of them. He said, you know, these people working for this $8-$9 an hour won't be able to afford to buy them.
Right, and who are they expecting overseas to sell these dryers to? They don't do math well when there's thousands of workers and one or two CEOs or people at that level of management benefiting in this deal. Who is it that they expect to buy their product? Economically, this stuff is bad policy, and it's obviously bad policy for working people in America. And it's time that people need to educate themselves about the labor movement and get organized in this country and bring private labor back up to where it should be in this country.
You're right on the money, Jim. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to have to take a break right now, and everybody's on the phone. Hang on. We'll be with you very, very shortly, I promise. You're listening to The Guy James Show on Power Talk 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
This is the sound of a washing machine. A very common sound in 5 to 7 million U.S. homes where children still wet the bed over age 6. I'm Dr. Mark Sandron, urologist from the Children's Hospital of Boston. Bedwetting is a medical condition that is much more common than people may think. And while the bed sheets can be washed, the bad feelings that result don't disappear as easily. My brother wet the bed until he was 12. Of course, my little sister and I teased him a lot. But when the accidents continued, no one in the family was having an easy time, and in fact, it was clear that everyone was stressed out. At that time, nobody realized that wetting the bed is not a behavioral or a psychological problem. We now realize it's a medical condition that can be safely and effectively treated, as I do daily. If your child wets the bed past age 6, please know it's no one's fault. Talk to your healthcare provider about available treatment options. For information, visit www.afud.org. A message from the American Foundation for Urologic Disease and this station.
13 million. Who will give me 14? I have 14 million. Do I hear 15? 15. 16. There to you, sir.
Political power doesn't come cheap in America.
Sold for $22 million. Another rollback in air quality regulations.
George Bush understands that money equals power. His campaign spent nearly $50 million this March alone. That's a record.
Next on the block, the First Amendment. Who will give me 1 million?
Just because it's a democracy doesn't mean it's free. How much is your vote worth?
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
Imus in the morning.
Wyatt Imus is 6 years old.
Yeah.
His mother catches him with a paperclip picking the lock to one of the girls' rooms in the hacienda.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I mean, come on here.
That's my man.
I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, they weren't naked when they went in.
Scott, I think you guys have a point.
Set your alarm for Imus in the morning, weekdays 6 to 10, on Power Talk 1200.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, sirree. Guy James back with you, coming to you from still beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers and the area here. Yes, we are battered, but we're still doing okay. The spirits are high, as I said. We have a great spirit here, and we're going to get through this hurricane thing just fine. But there's a lot of people still suffering, and when you see the agencies asking for help, do respond, because there are thousands upon thousands of people that are homeless right now, and I'm talking homeless with nothing. So do remember that. Hey, just a quick one here. Ladies and gentlemen, the most powerful man in the world.
In the world that we work for a free and secure and peaceful Iraq. A peace, free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact. And you may want to speak to the issue.
Anybody want to explain to me what peace and freeance is? Has anybody got any idea? Was he on some kind of a drunken toot there? Do you think he's really given up alcohol? Do you think he has? I find it hard to believe. I really, really do. You know, I have more contempt for the man every single day. I didn't feel this way when the man took office. I really didn't. I thought, yeah, he's a stupid boob, and I thought, well, you know, we'll get this 4 years over with. Had no idea. Had no idea as to the death and destruction this man could cause in this world and to this country. I got to admit, I mean, I've been a politico all my life, and I had no idea. Going to go to Damien. Damien in Houston. Damien.
Hello, Guy. How are you doing?
Thanks for being with us, Damien.
I'm glad to be here. First of all, I just want to say that from us here in Texas, that we just want you all to know that our thoughts and prayers are with the victims there in Florida, and we're thinking about y'all and hope everything turns out okay.
Well, thank you. We'll work hard at it, and we've got help from all over the nation coming in, and it's good to know.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I just wanted to mention about the Swift Boat Vet ad that's been talked about so much lately. You know, one of the major money men behind that group is a guy named Bob Perry, who's a home builder.
Everybody in Texas knows Bob Perry.
Yes, indeed. He has many, many homes that he sells here in Texas. And I bought a home actually earlier this year, but I did not buy it from Perry Homes.
And why?
Because I knew that he was a big money Bush contributor, and he's like one of the largest contributors to the Republican Party.
Isn't there more to it than that?
I
heard he builds rather shoddy homes and has been sued.
I stayed away from him.
Yeah, okay.
And then I would implore to everyone, you know, before buying a home, please remember, you know, what his money is going to before buying a home from him. But, you know, I was actually happy to see. Now, I'm no big fan of Chris Matthews, but I have to say he did a great job slapping down Michelle Malkin.
Whoa.
This week on Harbaugh. Did you hear about that?
It was. I saw it. It
you
was
it?
Brutal.
I didn't actually see it. I read the transcript.
Oh, I saw it. I've seen it twice now, and I plan on watching it again and again.
Oh, wonderful. You know, it was like Darth Vader emerging from the dark side. You know, Chris Matthews, who I'm normally very critical of.
Me too.
You know, he finally had a moment where he stood up for some type of, justifiable journalism.
Well, you know, she was pulling that old right-wing game again.
Right.
People say that these were self-inflicted. People say,
right.
And that's what lit his fire.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, somebody said, you know, she must have thought she was on Fox or, you know, at one of those Heritage Foundations.
Well, she has a contract with Fox, you know.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, if she had been on Fox, she'd have gotten away with that.
Sure.
You know, but finally somebody... You know, it's just refreshing to see somebody, anybody in the world of journalism, in the world of the media, finally stands up for the truth. You know,
oh, well, did you see what she tried to do to him on her website? She put his personal home phone number on her website. She's...
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But Bill, you know, I don't understand the woman. FaceTime must mean everything to him because Bill Maher just literally cut her up into little pieces.
Oh.
And then she comes on his show, and then now she's whining. Oh, it wasn't fair. It was caveman tactics.
Yeah, as if she isn't guilty of the same thing. You know,
you might expect that from a woman who writes a book, an Oriental woman who writes a book saying that the internment of the Japanese American during the Second World War was okay. What else would you expect from someone write a book like that?
Like a self-hating individual.
Oh, you can see it.
Big time. And the last thing that I wanted to... I'm here in Texas, and of course you guys are there in Florida, and I want you to know that I respect your sovereignty, and I know the definition of it.
You want me to give you the definition? I won't torture you again.
but I just want to implore to all of you, and we're begging and appealing to all of you there in Florida, please do not let Jeb Bush and his henchmen get away with the kind of shenanigans that they got away with in the year 2000.
Well,
we're counting on you all to keep an eye on them.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and you know, I don't want you putting the whole blame on us, man.
You shipped him
into Washington, right straight out of your state. Don't you ever forget? He came right out of Austin to Washington.
Bush was my governor for years before he was the president. You know, so I know the kind of dirty tricks those people are capable.
Yeah, well, you guys let him out of the, let him out, and now look what he's done.
Put it back on us. There you go.
Hey, thanks for your call, Damien. I do appreciate it. Yeah, those people from Texas trying to blame us now. Well, we deserve some of it here. I do have to admit that. We're gonna go to Paul in Boynton Beach. Paul, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm over on the southeast side of sunny Florida.
Yeah.
Didn't get anything over here except a few clouds.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm glad you
got through that.
Yep, we made it, but a lot of people are in sorry shape right now.
Oh, yeah, they still keep bringing up a few more people. It's up to 25 now, I think, that are dead.
Right. What's on your mind today, Paul?
Well, it's actually, okay, what they keep coming on, the media, they keep saying that the campaign, Gary's campaign, they keep saying the base of it, okay, is the Vietnam War. Well, the thing of it is that's really not true.
Simply, you're absolutely right. It's not.
It was brought up in the Democratic convention, and then it kept on from there. And then he wanted, you know, go out on the bus, go out to every state, talk to the people, and all of a sudden this crap comes back. Okay, about Vietnam. Oh, he lied. He did, and now he's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with this. I'm telling you.
Well, what do you do if you let him get away with it? The lie becomes the truth to millions of people.
But is he do? The thing of it is, are they doing that because Bush hasn't got anything to say?
He's got nothing. He's got nothing at all. That's why they're doing this. I mean, these people are a bunch of sleazy cockroaches that scurry back to the darkness when they question him about these obvious lies and distortions they're putting against this good and decent man. They've got nothing.
Oh, by the way, you know, I can sometimes I get the words of a cockroach. Okay, you know that pians and friants?
Yeah. Are you going to decipher that for us?
I think that's peace and freedom.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Those are two words that the President of the United States should be able to pronounce.
Well, one would think so. One would hope that he could speak at least a third grade level.
But I've watched that man. If it's not written down, he hasn't gone over it. If it's not a speech, forget it.
That's
they
right.
Ask him questions, and he comes out with words, okay? He repeats words. That's one thing he does. He repeats. And then he just like,
that deal with him talking about sovereignty in front of that crowd, when they started laughing at him, I thought, my God.
The thing of it is, these were people that did sign in for this, too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even they looked at this, that this man is stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks for your call, Paul. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay.
Let me see here. Where am I at? I don't know where I'm at. yeah, I'm going to play a little something right here that we threw together. One of my friends kept daring me to do this, so I did it. I hope it works out okay. I think it's going to play. Come and listen to my story about a boy named Bush. His IQ was zero and his head was up his tush. He drank like a fish while he was driving all about. But that didn't matter cause his daddy bailed him out. DUI, that is, criminal record cover-up. Well, the first thing you know, little Georgie goes to Yale. He can't spell his name, but they never let him fail. He spends all his time hanging out with student folk. And that's when he learns how to snort a line of coke. Blow, that is, white gold nose candy. The next thing you know, there's a war in Vietnam. Kin folks say, George, stay at home with Mom. Let the common people get maimed and scarred. We'll buy you a spot in the Texas National Guard. Cushy, that is, country club nose candy. 20 years later, George gets a little bored. He trades in the booze, says, Jesus is my Lord. He said, now the White House is the place I want to be. So he called his daddy's friends and they called the GOP. Gun owners, that is, Falwell, Jesse Helm. Come November 7th, the election ran late. Kin folks said, Jeb, give the boy your state. Don't let those folks get into the polls. So they put up barricades so they couldn't punch their holes. Chads, that is, Duval County, Miami-Dade. Before the votes were counted, five Supremes stepped in. Told all the voters, hey, we want George to win. Stop counting votes was their solemn invocation. And that's how George finally got his coronation. Rigged, that is, illegitimate, no moral authority. Boy, wasn't that a treat. Thanks for sticking around through that. Yeah, we threw that together the other day. Someone said helped us out with that, and we recorded it. And as you can tell, it was rather amateurish, but it turned out okay anyway. Hey, let's go to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. I don't think it was amateurish. I loved it. Who was picking the banjo?
Oh, a friend of mine.
Oh, really good there. You ought to go up there and get some of those folks in Nashville. Stretch.
I'm okay on my guitar, but the banjo, I'm not. I can. I'm a strummer, not a picker.
That was really good. I enjoyed that. Got a couple of points to make. You know, Senator Kennedy got put on the watch list, the no-fly list.
Yeah.
That was a message to all of us.
I'd like to see Teddy's face when that happened to him.
Yeah, and it happened more than once, so that I understand that Congressman Lewis had the same thing happen to him. And to me, that was just a straight message from Homeland Security. Hey, if we can do it to them, we can do it to you.
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right, Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, that was a message, a clear-cut message, which I don't particularly like to fly anyway, so after my CD.
Your name has got to be on the list.
Oh,
my name's got to be on the list.
It's on there.
Oh, yeah. I've been expecting a visit any old day now.
I heard that. Also, did you, on the DU thread, for those who aren't on DU, did you see where the guy went down in Alachua County and took pictures?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and tell that story, Amanda. I was going to talk about it a little later. Folks, I've seen the pictures. Amanda's seen the pictures. Amanda, tell us about this.
Yeah.
This is no bull. This is no spin.
No, this is the truth, and this is absolute proof positive that there is a connection between the Swift Vote, Kerry Vote flyers, and the George Bush campaign. Somebody went down to the Alachua County, and they happen to be members of the DU, and there were some from the Democratic Party down there, too. So it's not set up because they had to do it at 8 o'clock last night and took a picture of the promoing of the Swift Boat Liars coming to town at the actual headquarters. So they're tied together.
At the Republican headquarters.
At the Republican headquarters.
No, we don't know a thing about them.
No,
we're not affiliated with them at all.
We're not affiliated with them at all, but they're promoting them inside their headquarters, and someone took the picture late at night last night, zoomed in, and got the pictures. Proof positive.
So, for all of our naysayers, do you happen to have that thread handy where we can go see that picture?
Not handy right where I'm at because I'm on a landline.
Okay, you put it up on DU, and I'll make sure people get it. Okay.
I surely will. And I thought that was so great. I said, well, you know, they've got it right there now. And, in fact, I think some people sent it to TV20 in Gainesville. I know a fellow did in Pennsylvania last night, and I was tickled to death over that. I said, okay, there's your proof positive. We don't know anything about it, but they're connected. And they had actually promoted it a couple of days before. And some of us, we better watch Florida, folks.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really, and everywhere else, because these guys are so desperate.
They are. The desperation showing, I mean, I don't know how many of you have heard Hannity lately and Limbaugh lately. I mean, my God.
I've been trying to get through to Rush. Of course, I'm probably on his. I am. If I ever get through to him, he won't get a word in edge.
No.
How dare he open his mouth? He didn't serve. You heard from some real veterans before.
Sure.
The storm hit you. I mean, the ones who saw combat up close and personal, they know these guys are just out there. They're just out there. And they've got a... They're just angry. They're angry because, number one, Kerry told the truth. And some people just can't deal with reality.
Nope, they can't. And,
but I sure am glad you're safe. And I want to say to everyone else, people, please donate to the Guy James Show. We are way too close. Way, way, way too close to the election. We're going to need every voice, every liberal voice out there to fight the dirty, dirty, dirty. This has gone beyond dirty tricks. This is evil tricks.
Yeah.
And send what you can. If I can send some, you can send some.
Thank you, Amanda.
Okay, good talking to you.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You know, folks, and I want to talk seriously to all my listeners for a moment, all of you. I'm not kidding about this. You would think that during an election year, we wouldn't have a lot of trouble raising funds for a program like this. But I know everybody is donating to their candidates and to the party and to a lot of organizations. And I know the money's being spread thin. But I've always said that if this show ever fails, it won't be because of the threats we get from the right-wingers. You know, they call the station and complain, and, you know, they hate us. They hate us with a passion. You know, if we do fail, it'll be because of the apathy of Democrats concerning the overwhelming presence of right-wing talk radio. You know, if you want to have this show in the air, you need to help us support it. And right now, and I do mean right now more than ever before, we do need your help. So let your conscience be your guide if you want us to continue onward and upward with the show. and make that beautiful music like you heard a minute ago. I hope I didn't run you off. Then please do donate to the show. We mean it. And if you don't care enough to help, there just might be another right-wing talk show during these hours soon. Very soon. And we'd hate to see that happen. We really would. So keep that in mind. Let's go over and talk to John over at beautiful Cape Coral, Florida. John, welcome to the show.
Well, one point of disagreement. I agree with Amanda, not you. I think that the little song you did was superb.
Well, thank you.
I was going to say something else, but you just touched a nerve. And that is the fact that you said, well, this show may go off the air if we don't get enough support. And, you know, there's something outrageous about this whole situation, about the whole radio situation that exists here in Southwest Florida. Last weekend, with the little blow that we had, I, after the storm, decided I could not stay here without the essentials of, you know, electricity, air conditioning, water, and telephone. So I got into a car and went over the East Coast. And I spent a few days until things were restored here. And while there, I turned on a radio, and I get a station over there, which I would like to identify, 940 Winds.
Yeah.
Which is playing Air America. I don't know if you're aware of it.
Oh,
people
yeah.
may pick it up over here. That's 940. And I was struck. We are being fed by the management of Meridian Broadcasting with nothing but right-wing radio and tons and tons and tons of commercials. These people are so commercially oriented. Even during the emergency, all they do is run commercials, and all they do is run right-wing biased radio. And there's no balance. They won't run you. They won't run an Air America. Run commercials. Give us, the listeners, a chance to hear both points of view, but it's just one right-wing talk show after another. And frankly, I know I will not patronize their commercials, the little I listen, because of what they're doing. I think it's just, and I think all of us should get a message until there's some balance on this station that has no public responsibility. During the emergency, the so-called talk station did nothing but run simultaneous TV. 7 o'clock Saturday morning, I get up, I put on a radio because I want some news, and what do is get a mortgage information show. That's their responsibility to the public, and I'm just outraged by the way they run their station. And for you, you have to buy time. For us, we have to support it. For the right-wing Republicans, they don't have to do anything. You see, this is the unfairness of it all that I feel, Guy. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to donate a penny. The management has two stations to blast-ring this right-wing PAP all over the place, and I resent it. And
well,
I think I've just let off a lot of steam.
Well, John, you know, there are a lot of people that feel the way you do, and we try very hard to convince people in the local media here that that there should be another voice.
And not only that, I got to add one more thing, and this is a personal thing, and if you don't knock me off the air for it, but I think you do so much of a better job than the local talk show host. I mean, you admit that you're supporting a point of view. He pretends to be unbiased, and I say pretends. He won't let callers in like myself who are, you know, of a particular political persuasion. We can only call once a week. I mean, the way this station works is so outrageous. I am just mortified by the whole thing. And you do such a superb job. You're fair to everybody who calls.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate hearing your point of view. And we hope we keep chipping away at it. We hope somehow we can survive with this and, you know, get our niche in this community. We know there are thousands upon thousands of Democrats in this community.
Absolutely. And by the way, I did not feel saved. Because George W. Bush came to Southwest Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I understand they had to divert a lot of the security and monies and efforts to guard him as he made his big show because he was saying his prayers for everybody. And somebody made a point to me, Guy, and I just will close on one more point. If the effort and energy and monies that were being spent to rebuild Iraq were being spent on rebuilding Southwest Florida, we'd be a further ahead of the game.
Man, you're absolutely right about that. We like to take care of our own first, but I don't know what the absolute numbers are, and I'll just I'm probably sticking my neck out. I like to deal in nothing but facts on this show, but I have heard, and I don't know about you, I have heard that we have approximately 725 National Guard helping out with the situation here right now, and I've been told that the reason there's only 725 is because there are no more.
Well, you know, we're taking care of business in Iraq. And by the way, Bill Moyers, I heard last night on PBS, he ran a show there where he and some guests were discussing how we are just terribly in a terrible disaster over there. We've lost the people. They hate us. They hate the Americans. They hate the companies that are running over there. We're spending twice for every service because the companies don't produce it. Then the U.S. Military has to go in and pay for the same service. I mean, our monies are being wasted in this total disaster.
Well, as long as that money can get in the hands of the people that they want it to get into, that's as long as they'll prolong this thing. Hey, thanks, John, for your call.
And thanks for your great job, and I really mean it. I think you should be on 5 days a week, and we should not have to raise money for you, and this station management should wake up and say, we've got to service everybody in this community, not only one segment. And thank you, Guy, for the job you do.
Thank you for your call.
Take care.
Shucks, it was nothing. Hey, we do appreciate hearing all your points of view, and, you know, it's been my contention for a long, long time that Southwest Florida does deserve a liberal talk show host on every day. And, you know, it's a commercial thing. I think if we could be commercially successful, we could probably do that. But it's as always, it's the bottom line dollar that counts for everything. Where is the time going today? We've got 2 hours down, only an hour to go in the show. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour right now. You're listening to 1200 WPTK in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Despite their promises, militia members loyal to radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr have not yet handed over control of a religious shrine in the Iraqi city of Najaf. I'm Steve Taylor. In Washington, former CIA Director James Woolsey says al-Sadr is working for Shiite leaders in Iran.
I look upon him as essentially the head of Hezbollah for Iraq, very much like the people who run Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria, more or less at the behest of the ruling mullahs in Tehran.
John Kerry's campaign claims that a supposedly independent group attacking Kerry's war record is working illegally with the Bush campaign. The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, who start running new TV commercials next week, deny it, as does the Bush camp. A former Swift Boat skipper who had kept silent now has spoken up.
Journalist William Rood of the Chicago Tribune says the stories told by Kerry's detractors just aren't true. On the newspaper's website, Rood says there were three officers and 15 crew members in the three boats that day more than 35 years ago. Only two officers remain to talk about what happened. Rood says he is one of them. The other is John Kerry, who won a Silver Star for what he did on that date. Rood says it's hard for those who were there to listen to accounts they know to be untrue, especially when they come from people who were not there. Tom Gager, ABC News.
At least nine people were injured in a New Hampshire campground last night, some of them pinned in their RVs by falling trees as extremely severe weather struck. Karen Bark co-owns the campground.
It was horrific. It looks like a microburst or a tornado came through. The damage kind of bounced down and then bounced up again and went someplace else. It's no particular pattern. But it was devastating when it hit the ground.
No one has died, but Bark said some of the injured were hurt badly. In Virginia, mining regulators are investigating why a half-ton boulder broke loose to roll into a house early yesterday, killing a three-year-old boy. This is ABC News.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror, my wife's still in bed, and this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
In a perfect world, teachers would know the dogs do eat homework. An A for effort would be part of your GPA, and your first final exams would truly be your last exams. But the world isn't perfect, and that's why there's Walgreens, with back-to-school supplies you need to make your grades as perfect as possible, like pens, pencils, backpacks, and notebooks. That's life. This is Walgreens.
This week, a 200-sheet need 5-subject notebook is free after rebate.
Here's a message from Northern Tool and Equipment. Because of the hurricane, Northern Tool and Equipment is bringing in extra supplies of generators, chainsaws, flashlights, water pumps, temporary power sources, tarps, and other cleanup supplies. Northern Tool and Equipment is here and ready to help. Northern Tool and Equipment stores are located on South Tamiami Trail, south of 6 Mile Cypress, and on North Cleveland Avenue, south of Pine Island Road. Again, Northern Tool and Equipment is bringing in extra storm supplies and cleanup supplies such as generators, chainsaws, flashlights, water pumps, tarps, and more. Northern is ready and here to help. Northern Tool and Equipment stores located on South Tamiami Trail, south of 6 Mile Cypress, and on North Cleveland Avenue, south of Pine Island Road.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neal, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neal, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit RobertNealForCongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
This is Power Talk 1200.
Under Florida's 1020 life law, if you commit a crime and pull a gun, you'll go to jail for 10 years. Fire the gun, 20 years. Shoot someone, 25 years to life. Think we're kidding?
I was young. I was 16. They gave me 10 mandatory. And when they say 1020 life, it ain't 365. It's 1020 life. And it's mandatory day for day.
1020 life is the law. Any questions? This message has been brought to you by the Executive Office of the Governor, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Thurston, where did you suddenly get that walkie-talkie?
I've had it all along, my dove. You see, the statute of limitations on my creative accounting is up. Time to end this tropical charade and return to our billions.
Oh, do we have to go back? It's so cozy here on the island.
My dear, don't you listen to the coconut radio? It's the best time ever to be a billionaire in America. More than half of the last tax cut went to the wealthiest 5%.
But the voters will never allow that kind of thing.
That's what's so marvelous, lovey. The middle class believes they're going to be billionaires someday.
Well, anything's possible in America.
Oh, your naivete is so charming. My love. The fact is, the gap between them and us is getting wider all the time. W's our boy.
Bush Economics. More than just a 3-hour tour. Paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
It's the same thing. There's no difference. There's not a shred of difference between the 1930s and 2004. It's the same people. The SS, the German shock troops, the Gestapo. They're Al-Qaeda. There's no difference. Hitler says to kill, they kill. Osama says to kill, they kill. No difference. What's the difference?
This is Bill O'Reilly. Please join me as we try to make sense of all the chaos. Weekdays at noon on Power Talk 1200.
The only thing we have to fear is
and so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you with the Guy James Show here on a beautiful Southwest Florida afternoon, and coming to you from the aftermath of Hurricane Charley. A lot of people working hard today to get their lives back together, and a lot of people out helping them as well. And all those people helping you have our greatest respect and our thanks. Without the help that's come in from all over the country, we wouldn't be able to get back to normal for a very long, long time here in Southwest Florida. Believe me, it's that bad. But we are glad and we are thankful that we are okay. Our home is okay. We had the inconvenience of not having power for a few days and all that. But compared to what many other folks are going through, it was nothing. Kind of shocks us back to reality. I've always said that if I had to vote on the two most important people ever on the planet for progress, my vote would be for Thomas Edison. And I certainly shored up that belief this week. Tommy, how many times I reached for that wall switch and nothing happened, you know what I mean? And it was, hey, I want to give you an address here. Let's see here. Where you can send a donation to the show, 12870 Tradeway 4. That's 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. 34135. And that's, of course, the Guy James Show. And, of course, we do want to thank the powers that be at Wink WNOG Radio here and WPTK and the Meridian family for all the help they've given to all the folks that have been devastated by this hurricane. They've set up a drive to raise money and food for these people, and been on the air all three stations up until just a day or so ago, you know, 24 hours a day getting emergency stuff out. The whole staff here has worked so very, very hard. Biz is in there shaking her head. Yeah, she knows what everybody's been through around the station here. So, and I did notice it was gratifying to see over on our bulletin board here at the station. And by the way, folks, this is no Mickey Mouse deal right here. This is quite a facility. I don't know how many stations we got here. What we got? 6, 7, 10, 9. We got 9 stations here, and believe it or not, it's not Clear Channel. So there. And CBS. That's right. Biz, remind me. We got CBS affiliate here too. So, so we thank everybody involved with that. We really, really do. Where are we at here? Let's go back to the phones right now. Guys have been waiting for a long time. Scotch in Punta Gorda. Scotch, thanks for calling today.
Well, you're quite welcome.
How are things over at your way?
Oh, all the fun's gone now. My power's back on. I just don't have air, but, you know, it was nice while it lasted, I guess. But, you know, it was one of those things that, I was getting kind of dull again, so I thought I'd call you.
All right.
Yeah. What I was wondering, I want to talk about those weapons of mass destruction. You heard that the last time that President Bush got a physical, right at the end of the physical, the doctor put on that rubber glove.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know what this is for? He said, we've been searching for those weapons of mass destruction. He said, if we don't find them this time, we're going to figure that they just don't exist at all.
Oh, I knew you'd have something for
you. You liked that one,
yeah.
Didn't you? Hey, what I was wondering, Guy, what do you think about this, putting up another amendment to the Constitution stating that the government would be responsible to see that every individual in America would have adequate medical care, adequate lodging, and adequate food, and just make that a constitutional amendment?
Well, I don't know if I want to go that far.
You don't?
Not that far. Not that far. But I do believe that health care is something that we need to restructure this somehow. I don't have the answer to the health care. I really don't.
I thought it was kind of interesting that almost every state in the Confederacy had that in their state constitution for slaves.
Is that right?
Once the slaves were free, then it was their responsibility to get their own lodging, their own food, and their own medical care.
Hmm.
But before that, then the master took care of. I just thought that I would bring that kind of up because you call yourself, you know, liberal, and I'm conservative. It's just a little bit of a difference there between.
You know, it's interesting, Scotch, that you bring that up. I was in Charleston a while back, and there's no more bastion of Southern beliefs in the Confederacy. And of course, the people that first broke away, right there in Charleston, South Carolina, where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to talk to some of the folks there. These, 140 years later, some of the revisionist history you hear about. My wife and I went outside of town, outside of Charleston for, I can't think of the name of this place, but we went to this big plantation, and they had all these little brick huts. They were about 5 by 8. And that's where the slaves lived back way back when. And it was fun hearing these guys tell us that how well they took care of the slaves.
Well, how do you know that some of them weren't well taken care of? There was a lot of slaves that stayed right with the plantation owners.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure some were probably well taken care of, according to what they thought the white man thought was well taken care of. But you do hear some interesting stories in and around Charleston. Some of the lingering stories. I had one gentleman look me right in the eye and say, "You know, most of the slaves that lived around Charleston here, they liked being slaves." And I thought, well, you know, I would like to have had the chance to interview him on that one.
Well, the interesting part of it is, I think, now that a lot of people right now don't even realize that we're living under a slavery. We just rattle our chains and cry and sing of our own freedom. And we've got about as much freedom right now as they had under slavery. I mean, boy, we're regulated and counted and stamped and about everything else. When I get up in the morning, everything that I pick up has to be okayed by the government. My toothbrush has to be okayed. So does the toothpaste I use. So does the house I live in. I've got to go down and get permission from them to put anything on my house. The whole thing is just regulated. I thought freedom was against regulation.
Would you have it be totally unregulated?
Were we unregulated when we were growing, when we were free?
Yeah, but we didn't have 280 million of us here.
What difference does that make?
Well, we didn't have people.
Individual, you're collectivist.
We didn't have people like Dow Chemical causing you know, love canals and so forth and poisoning the air and water to the degree that they were before the EPA came along.
Oh yeah, now we got the government buying up all the land so that we're going to be homeless on the land our fathers conquered.
Well, we'll deal with that when the time comes. But
we've already dealt with it.
Well, we've dealt with it now.
They're taking away land from us, telling us what to do with it. One guy was fined. I was just reading one guy was fined for growing too much wheat. They fined him $30,000. He said, "I'm not fighting you guys for my wheat. I'm fighting you for my property. Who owns my property, me or you?"
Yeah.
And that's the way we're going here.
Would you want him to be able to plant...
You're darn right I would. I mean, if it's a free country and he's got land, that's what he should grow.
Well, how far do you go with it, though, Scotch? Do you want him to plant... is it okay if he... You know, I can think of a great cash crop. You want to price 1,000 acres of marijuana?
So what? If he wants to smoke it, I don't think marijuana hurts that many people. I don't smoke it myself.
Well, it'd be a darn good cash crop, I'll tell you what.
Look what happened during Prohibition.
Yeah.
Did you want to go back to that kind of regulation?
Well, I feel that we got to have some regulation. I don't like.
I realize that's where you and I kind of differ.
I don't
anyway,
like
to carry
away with
you it. Taking my call.
Hey.
And by the way, I just wanted you to know this is the fourth disaster that I've lived through.
Really? What are the other three? You're not gonna give me one of those lines. One was the Roosevelt administration, and one was the Kennedy. You're not gonna do that. All right.
I had a big northern tornado go right over the top of me.
Ah, okay.
Right? You know, I was right, and then this one. And then I was married twice.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew you were going to get one in there somewhere.
Okay.
Thank you, Scotch. Thanks for your call. Let's go up and talk to Greg in Connecticut. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Hey, by the way, let me give out the number, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And locally here, 479-5540. Sorry to interrupt you, Greg. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Well, before I get to my point, I just wanted to quickly respond to the previous caller. Now, when the time...
Is it possible for you to speak up a little?
Yeah, is this a little better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, when the time comes when the previous caller gets cancer from carcinogens in his food or toxins in the air, I hope he's going to thank those companies out there and defend their right to be free to produce whatever product that they want to produce.
Good point. I agree with you.
Now, just getting back to the point a while ago, you were talking about how these people are desperate, and I agree with you 100%, but I always think of what Randy Rhoads says. She says, don't be happy when they're desperate, because when they get desperate, they're kind of like a cornered rattlesnake.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really worried about certain things that could happen. I'm even worried about the Republican convention next week. I'm worried, for example, they could bring in people to cause trouble and violence, and it can be just like Chicago in 1968.
I absolutely agree. You know, Greg, you and I are a couple of real cynics because I thought that same thing this week. I wouldn't put that. How can you put it past these people? Okay. You can't.
You know, and it's just, I mean, I run through these scenarios on a daily basis. I worry about John Kerry's physical safety. I worry someone could take a shot at him. Or I worry, you know, about a terrorist attack. I think the more Bush goes down the polls, the chance of a terrorist attack goes up. You know, maybe I'm just too much of a cynic, but I really worry about these things. That, you know, a terrorist attack is going to have half the country waving a flag again and not looking at the issues.
I agree. I hate it that I have to agree with you on that, but it's the truth. It is absolutely the truth.
I think part of the thing, too, is, you know, we don't want to, as Democrats, we're always saying we're not going to stoop to that level, but I think at times we have to just look at just how evil some of these people can be and how they're willing to stop at absolutely nothing to get their goal, including, you know, have Americans lose their lives to do it.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Greg, for your call.
Great, thank you.
Do appreciate it. You know, when you see this kind of gutter politics taking place this week, you couldn't have escaped hearing all about it with these swift boat liars. You know, it ought to give you some ideas to the character of George W. Bush. You know, he's willing to allow these liars to trash a veteran who he himself said performed honorable service to this nation. You know, out of one side of his mouth, he's saying, oh, John Kerry, you did honorable service. And on the other, you know, out the back door of the White House, him, Karl Rove, yeah, go ahead, guys, let him have it. You know, if Bush had an ounce of decency, he would come out publicly, have a news conference and come out publicly and denounce these swift boat liars. But you see, this so-called good born-again Christian man the Republicans deified does not have an ounce of decency in his body. He really doesn't, and he's proven it by allowing these sleazy, lying swift boat veterans to do the dirty work for him, hiding behind their lies. He's just as sleazy as they are, perhaps even more so. You know, John McCain, what is wrong with you? You had this happen to you in a South Carolina primary. We've seen this happen, you know, with the Sachs-Bechambliss mess over Max Cleland. We've seen how they won't, you know, they'll stop at nothing. We've seen it. And it's happening again, and there's millions of people out there right now. This is what disgusts me so much. It's not the most disgusting thing that these guys will do this. Because I expect it of them. I really do expect it of them. What's most disappointing is that there are millions of Americans out there buying it. That just greatly disturbs me. It disturbs me that Americans who could be that ignorant, that blind. How could you be that stupid to buy these stories? You've seen all their arguments being refuted over and over again. You know, this O'Neill character, is there anybody more of a sleazeball than John O'Neill? And these other guys saying, well, yeah, I did say this, but now I'm saying something different. I thought John McCain was a war hero 2 years ago, but now I don't think so. I mean, how low can you go? And how stupid, how utterly stupid do you have to be? And I'm sorry I have to say that to some of you. But you got to be a regular ignoramus to believe the stories coming from these guys and not see their motives. I mean, it's incredible that you don't see their motives. They really are cockroaches. Going to Dan and Benita. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Guy. I want to talk a little bit about the President's Guard Service and something I haven't heard on either side of the aisle. That's an important fact that I think the public should realize, although I don't think most of them do, is that at the time that the president was doing his guard duty, if you can recall your history, the president's father, George W., is it senior or whatever title it is, was the director of the CIA.
Yep.
Was that not correct?
Yep.
Okay. Whatever war or conflict, Guy, we would have been involved in, this would have included George W.'s children, relatives, probably the president at the time, was it Nixon, vice president, none of their children or family members would have been put into any kind of combat situation.
Never have been, nope.
Well, think about this, Guy, and not because it was W, it could have been Nixon, it could have been Carter's children. If they ever would capture these people, the security risk with that could be catastrophic. You know, using them in propaganda films, drugging them up, torturing them. So when you when you keep, you know, when everybody keeps saying about Bush and, you know, or any of these politicians that aren't going in the service, some of this is beyond their control, guy. And I'm not making excuses for the president. I'm just playing with the laws.
Well, how about John? How about John? How about John McCain?
Pardon me?
How about John McCain?
Well, I don't think his father had a big position in the government.
His father was an admiral.
Oh, was he? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, he must have been retired, because I doubt very much. In fact, they probably did use McCain in propaganda films or whatever, right? I'm sure that they did.
They tried to.
They had him for 5 years, for Christ's sake. Who knows what the other side did with him or whatever, although we didn't see much of that. But I want to make that point, guy, because there's no way they would put George Bush, anyone else like that, into harm's way because of security reasons. They just wouldn't do it.
And why do they just say that?
What makes we say that?
Why don't they just say it?
I don't know. That's a very good point. I have no idea. I have no idea why they're not mentioning that. But one other point about my call, guy, let the viewing audience know and repeat this next week, because I'm not going to be calling back, I don't think, for a particular reason. We have the primary on August 31st. It's important that people get out to vote. Try to know the issues as best you can of the different people in the different races. Here in Collier County, we have a very important race in the school board. We have three candidates, Jim Lawson, Kathleen Curatolo, and Ted Bailey. Try to get information. Go on their website. But it's important because these races, guy, can come and go, especially the school board race. If one of the people running gets 50% plus one vote, it's over. They don't even wait till November.
Yeah.
It's important that people get out and get in the primary of the party of their choice. Of course, the school board is nonpartisan, so you don't have to belong to a particular party.
Right.
But pass that along,
agree, Dan.
On, guy, and pass it along next week so we make sure that people get out.
Will do. Very important.
Thank you.
Thank you. And speaking of schools, how about all you folks that been crying for charter schools all over the country and the charter school movement that's going on now? I don't know, but as you know, I'm a proponent of public schools. Always have been, always will be. I got a good education at a public school. Some of you might disagree with that, but I did. Turns out this week, with a new report, comes out that the charter schools are lagging behind the public schools in educational value. What do you think about that? And regarding local politics races, I tell you what, they're running for Congress here. And those of you that don't live around here, those of you that you ought to hear in this Republican primary going on. We got Connie Mack, who's a carpetbagger coming over from the East Coast of Florida, coming back to. He was born here, raised here, but he moved away for, I don't know, 30 years or something. And a county commissioner by the name of Andy Coy, and they're running against each other. In this primary for the Republican nomination, and you ought to hear. You would get a real chuckle, all of my Democratic friends, a real chuckle out of the ads these guys play. I was going to get one played on program today. I didn't know if I was allowed to or whatever. But it's amazing hearing these guys talking about, I'm more Republican than the other guy. I mean, the ads pretty much say, I love George Bush. I love George Bush. Oh, my God, I love George Bush and Ronald Reagan, too. And I'm pro-life, and I'm this, and I'm every goddamn Republican thing you can possibly think of. I am. That's what they. It's amazing to hear these two, this Coy and this Mack. They're back. I'm a better Republican than you are. I stand for prayer in the schools, and I stand side by side with George Bush. What are they going to do when they don't have George Bush to stand beside once this election's over? All right, let's go to Dan in Fort Myers. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hello, guy. How are you today?
Good.
Listen, I'm a conservative, been conservative all my life, and you can't find anybody that was more against Clinton than I was and badmouthed him more. And I was astonished at how the Democrats would back that man when I thought he was so wrong. But I am so dismayed at these Republicans, what they're doing, because they're worse than the Democrats ever thought of being about backing somebody that should not be backed for the good of this country. And it makes me sick to my stomach to listen to what's going on.
Well, it's hard to face some of that. It really is. I always try and be fair. I do. I try and be fair. But and don't get me wrong, I was completely ashamed of what happened with Bill Clinton. I was, and I wasn't one that was going to stand there and say it's okay no matter what. I didn't do it. But you know, sometimes you just got to be reasonable.
Well, these Republicans ought to be ashamed of themselves, I'll tell you. But I have voted for one Democrat in my life, and
who was that?
I voted for that moron that they ran against, Jeb Bush, because I was so fed up with what the Bushes are doing. This year, I will be voting for John Kerry. There will only be one Republican that I'll be voting for, and that's not locked in yet.
Yeah.
But I want these people out of there.
Well,
badly.
I hope the rest of the public goes along with you. Dan, I got a bunch of callers. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank
I
you.
Do appreciate hearing your point of view very, very much. Let's go up to Winter Haven, Florida, and talk to Juanita. Juanita, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Glad to have you with us this afternoon.
I have four short points, I think. That Malkin, she was on Washington Journal the next morning, yesterday morning. Did you see that?
I read the transcript of that one.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
Oh, she. Hey, she's vicious, isn't she?
Oh, she's something else. And then I went through the hurricane, of course, and the eye came over here, and of course we didn't have any lights or water. I mean, not water. We had water. We didn't have any lights or phone.
And what county is
Polk County?
Polk County, Winter Haven. Okay.
Lake Wells is pretty much wiped out. I mean, it's a mess. But anyway, the reason I wanted to say something about that was I was trying to get some news on my battery radio,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing I could get was from WFLA, and they were, you know, they're a Limbaugh station.
Yeah.
And they had some good call-in programs, you know, so you could find out something. And then there was WDBO was a good one, and then Real Radio, they had some good shows, but talk-in. And anyway, what I wanted to say was I was trying to find something, and I got this guy on there talking to this woman, or young woman, or whatever. And I listened for a while, oh, no, that's Hannity. And on the radio, and anyway, he was talking about, they were talking about, oh, they were criticizing Bush, you know, for coming down here and criticizing Jeb for this and that and the other. We were in the middle, this was right after the storm had gone through,
mm-hmm.
and this girl said, oh, they're talking about this national disaster. She said, what are they talking about, national disaster? There was only 16 people killed. And I turned it after.
Yeah.
I don't know who she was. Maybe she was Malkin.
I just didn't realize. You know, and folks, you can see this on TV all you want to, but until you see it with your own eyes, you can't believe it.
And then another thing is that I do criticize the weather people. You know, they kept telling people in Tampa and all like that to go to Orlando to ride out a storm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm old enough. I went through the storm in 1960, you know, Donna. And it was a bad storm.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, why are they telling them to go to Orlando? I mean, I couldn't believe it. And that was another thing. And then the last one is about the thing with Kerry. They keep saying that, you know, that Kerry was a coward and this and that and the other. And I saw that John O'Neill the other day. And I got to thinking, well, what do they want us to do? Go to the coward that didn't go, or to go to the coward that did go? I'll choose, if he's a coward, I'll choose him over the other.
No, it's you know, the comparison is a joke.
It is.
It really is.
It is. And anyway, that was what I wanted
to
say.
Well, Juanita, thanks for calling, and I'm glad you're okay up there in Winter Haven.
Yeah,
Florida.
We went through it fine. We didn't have any lights or phone for quite a while, but we went through it great.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do want to correct something. It has come to my attention, and I sometimes let things get past me, that it's come to my attention that Poppy Bush didn't become CIA director until 1976, and that was 4 years after Shrubby quit the Texas Air National Guard. So we thank Steve Yet 2003 from Democratic Underground for pointing that out to us. I do appreciate that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You still got time to call in. Want to play you a song. Well, it's a little on the long side, but it's beautiful, and I want to play it anyway. This is a song written, produced, and the whole ball of wax by a wonderful lady up in Ohio, up in Newark, Ohio. And I'm very familiar with that town. And anyway, her name is Celeste Friedman. And I'd like for you to let me know. Send me an email or, you know, get on DU and let me know, a Democratic Underground for all you local folks. Let me know what you think of this. I think it's fabulous. And, you know, we had that wonderful song on there last week, and we got another one this week, and I think I'll play it for you right now.
Man.
Wow. That's all I can say the first time I heard that. Thank you very, very much, Celeste Friedman, for sending us that. We appreciate having it, and happy and proud to play it for all of you. Hey, just a recent list of contributors: Chris Kern, William Sherrill, Vince DiAmici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, John and Maggie Dowling, Sindel Thiramurthy, Robert Neild, Betty Bainbridge, Virginia Miller, Elaine Miller, Ronald Quay, Luciano Ursetti, Arnie Arneson, Ryan Veith, Carolyn Dushke, and Barbara Presnell. We thank you so much for your help. Gosh, there's a name on there that, wow, I've got to ask my producer about that. Great to have that name on there. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song. I most certainly did, and I was proud that she sent it to our program. Let's go talk to Debbie in Naples. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Didn't call to talk about politics today.
Well, there's much else. There's a whole lot else we can talk about, that's for
well,
sure.
Well, I wanted to, this is the first opportunity I had to call. I heard one of your callers earlier. I think his name is Julio.
Yes.
He's a regular caller to your program.
Yes.
I recognize his voice. He said he does a lot of work up in Arcadia.
Yes.
And that is such a depressed area, even in the best of times. And I've done a little bit of animal rescue work up there, and he seems to know a lot about the situation there. I wonder if he could tell you perhaps off the air, or if I could give you my number off the air, if he could let me know how I could help the people out up there personally. I really hesitate to donate to big charities because
sure.
I don't know who the heck is getting the money.
I understand,
you know?
Of course.
So,
Julio, now, Biz, do we have Julio's number? Okay.
If I could get in touch with him.
No,
personally?
she says we don't. Julio,
no.
If you're listening, give us a call and give us your number so we can put you in touch with Debbie.
I'd appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
If any of your listeners, you know, would like to donate to an area that really is depressed, like I said, even during the best of times, it's a very poor area. A lot of farm workers
sure.
and poor people up there.
You're right. Yeah. Hey, Debbie, when you get done speaking here, pardon
yes.
me for interrupting
sure,
you.
Sure, no problem.
Please, we're going to put you on hold and get your number, and then if he calls, we'll get you two hooked
I
up.
I would appreciate that very much, and if your listeners want to contribute to an area that could really use it, that would be a good place to start.
Most certainly. I think the national people have not done a great job.
They haven't. And you know what? It's really frustrating to me because I feel like the only people that are really getting coverage, because it's easy for the journalists to go and sit in the Holiday Inn, you know, half an hour north of there and get air conditioning and room service, I think the only places that they're really covering is like the Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte area. And, yeah, it's tragic what happened there. But this hurricane took a path straight through Orlando. My niece lives up there. She just got her power on yesterday, and half of her condo complex is condemned.
Yeah.
There's people suffering in the central part of Florida where it's not real pretty, and there's a lot of poor folks. And you know I'm a Republican, and, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. I don't, you know, run around telling people what to do if I'm not willing
sure.
to do it myself.
Debbie, thank you. And we'll try and get you hooked
Thanks,
up.
Thanks, and I'll hold on.
Thank you. Let's see here. Let's go on to Mike in Sanibel. Oh, I may have cut Debbie off. Debbie, call back, and Biz will get your number. Please call back, Debbie. We got Mike on the line right now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Guy. This is Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just, wanted to call and thank everybody that's helped out on the island here, especially Lou Phillips, the tree guy. Our driveway was closed up with plenty of big trees, and he came out amazingly after working for FEMA and got on us right away.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
So anyway.
You know, I don't think, Mike, I don't think a lot of people understand about some of these trees. I had an appointment with my doctor the other day, and it's down at the hospital here in downtown Fort Myers. His offices are next door. And, man, they have some huge, huge banyan trees out in front of the hospital. I'm talking huge. Huge!
Yeah.
That it took them down, ripped them right out of the ground. I couldn't believe it.
Uh huh. But again, I was so pleased with the efforts that the federal and the state and the local people and the tree guys are so important. You can't say enough.
Oh no! And I mean that's dangerous work too.
Oh yeah. In fact, when Lou walked out, he had a cut on his leg, and you kind of wonder, you know, where'd that come from?
Well, I've heard the hospital say that they've had many, many, many injuries come in as a result of people getting cut on aluminum and glass and chainsaws and everything else. There's been just as many people taken to the hospital in emergencies after the thing, as you know, as to the immediate aftermath.
Right. But that song you played, "Carry Me
yeah.
Home" or whatever, that's a great song.
Yeah, she's good.
I think all the Democrats should be listening to that.
Yeah,
uniting behind John Kerry. And I just wanted to say thank you very much, and let's get him in the House, and you know, he'll be the richest president ever.
Yeah, that's right. Even richer than John F. Kennedy.
Oh,
I think.
Betcha.
Oh yeah, by a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for your call, Mike. I'm glad everything's all right with you.
Yeah. Thank you for having such a great talk show. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
And take care, guys.
Yeah, Mike lives out on Sanibel Island, and Sanibel Island, oh man, I mean, those of you around the country, I know you hear me talk about Sanibel Island, but it's it's nice. It's really, really, really nice. One of the barrier islands right off our coast here, along with Captiva, and they get hit very, very hard, very, very hard. Captiva and Upper Captiva, believe it or not, the storm blew a hole right through the island, 400 yards wide, just took away 400 yards of the island right down the middle, and devastated a bunch of homes. It's a mess. It's a terrible mess, and it's going to take a long time. But I see people's spirits are high, and I'm happy to see that they're working hard and a great effort. Like I said the other day, I was driving to Miami, and there was literally armadas coming of police officers from other parts of the state, and this big tree company that so many of you know. I guess I won't mention your name, but you know, they were Osplund. That's the name of it, Osplund. I probably have said that wrong, but it's a huge company here in the country. But they had, I must have passed 40 of their trucks heading this way, and big electrical boom trucks and all that. That's been a monstrous job getting the electricity back on in our community. And I know some of you don't have your electricity back yet. But many, many, many thousands of you do. And I tell you what, I think it's a credit to the electric people here in this area that they've done a fabulous job. I really think so. So if you don't have your power back yet, you might not agree with me, but I tell you what, it wouldn't be because they haven't made a great effort, because they have. Let's go and talk to Fred in Fort Myers. Fred, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guy?
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, I know in the past I've heard you say you don't say anything unless you've checked it out, and,
yeah.
You know, it's a fact. I was just wondering, you were calling the Swift boat veterans liars.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what facts you have on that. It just seems funny that, you know, there's one guy he served with who's, you know, backing Kerry's facts, and then there's like 17 guys who are saying differently. I just wonder what...
Well, first of all, it's not quite true. Everybody that was on Kerry's boat backed him. Everyone. And we've got gentlemen like this Thurlow gentleman, who a couple of years ago was backing John Kerry, and all of a sudden his story changes. He got a Bronze Star the same day John Kerry got one. And he's saying that there were no bullets flying that day. And he got a Bronze Star on account of bullets flying. And now they dig up his record and find out that on that record it says for his commendation that were bullets were flying everywhere. So, you know, he's obviously lied about that. We have...
Yeah, but the thing that's strange is that Kerry wrote up his own report for the medal. I mean,
no, he didn't. That's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. There's no proof of that whatsoever. I know the right-wing media is trying to push that. But it just simply didn't happen. You don't write up your own commendations. It doesn't happen. Somebody else
had
to.
I think it was on like Hannity or somebody.
Well,
there was a guy
course.
Who served with him who said that you know, they threw a flash grenade or something into a bag of rice, and everybody else got down, and Kerry just stood there with his back to it because he knew it wouldn't be lethal, and he'd get his, you know, second or third Purple Heart.
So, now you really don't believe that a guy would do that intentionally, do you?
Well, I know
you wouldn't have your intelligence insulted that by believing that story. You know,
well,
I would
take a flesh wound if I thought it might give me a better chance of winning the presidency years later.
So you think 35 years ago a guy was planning on being for the presidency?
Well,
took some rice in the ass 35 years ago so that he could be president in 2004.
No, I've heard from actually a couple people that he served with that said that he was modeling himself after Kennedy. And he was, you know, I mean, not planning it, but setting it up to where if in the future, if he wanted to, it would be, you know.
Well, that's pretty good planning, don't you think?
Well, I mean,
If you can plan 35 years ahead that you're going to run for the United States presidency, that's pretty good planning.
Well,
and of course, you had
maybe,
to get
maybe he was just making his options easier for the, you know, the future if he so chose to run, you know. But and just one more question, Guy. I just wanted to try to get inside the mind of liberals who hate Bush so much. I just want to know what it is that you what's your biggest beef with the president?
My biggest beef with the president, he's not an honest man. He's not an honest man.
I feel like Kerry isn't very honest.
Really?
You know?
What major thing has he lied to you about?
Well, from everything I've heard, what does it tell you that
let's be reasonable here for a minute. We had one guy that went to Vietnam, volunteered to go, and then volunteered for the swift boat duty.
And we had another guy that went to
the Texas National Guard and did nothing and didn't show up half the time and got out whatever kind of a way he got out. And you're going to compare those two? Let's say that Kerry went to Vietnam and didn't get any medals. Didn't get any at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that some kind of a lie, a dishonorable thing? I mean, the man went to Vietnam. He put his life on the line.
Well, I've heard from two guys that served with him.
With him?
You know,
now, there's the word I have a problem with. With
very
him.
Very calculating, very... setting himself, modeling himself after Kennedy, you know, he didn't know he was going to run for sure for president, but I think he was setting himself up for, you know, the possibility.
Wow. I'm amazed that you believe that. I really am. That a guy could, you know, like I said earlier in the show, you'd have to get off the boat, and you'd have to go into the jungle along the river, and you'd have to talk to the Viet Cong and say, hey, guys, you know, shoot above me, below me, but don't shoot me. I'm going to drive right down through the middle of the river here, and I don't want any of you to shoot me because I'm planning on running for the United States presidency in 2004, and I don't want to get hurt real bad. Just shoot me enough that I can go home. You know, you'd have to believe that that were true.
Well, you weren't there, and I wasn't there, so nobody knows the facts except for...
Are you saying the United States Navy is a bunch of liars?
From everything I've heard, is he wrote up his own commendation
Let's get something straight here. You do not write up your own commendation. That's absolutely false.
But he was the officer there that day. He wrote what happened, then he gave it to his commanding officers, and then they took
And then they have to verify it. And then they have to verify it. You see, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You're drinking the Kool-Aid, Fred. Okay. You're believing the right-wing talk shows, and you have not said a fact yet. And I'm sorry that you haven't heard the facts, but you said you called in because we always say we're stating the facts. We do always state the facts.
Where was your proof that you said you found?
Do you watch Fox News, for example?
No, I mean I listen to talk radio a lot.
Hear people talking about Fox News, don't you?
Right.
One of my stories today about this Thurlow guy came right off of Fox News, and you know who they're for. Hey, I got to go. Got other callers. You continue believing that, but I hope you keep listening for the truth, because sooner or later you might find it. Thanks for calling. We've got Bob in Cape Coral. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. Guys like that, this last call is what scares me.
Well, that's the proof in the pudding, that what they know what they do works, and that's why they're doing it.
It's an amazing thing, because... you know, he doesn't even look at the facts. He's just looking, listening. He went exactly the company line of what he's hearing on talk radio. It's like everything that all this proof that's coming out proving how wrong these guys are is just going in one ear and out the other.
You got your radio on?
Yeah.
We're getting a terrible squeal here off of you. You would back it off there.
I shut it off there.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, Guy.
Yeah, it does fascinate me. It really does that people will buy that, but...
It's scary, but I think all the proof that's coming out now. Like, matter of fact, even on your news break, the guy from the Chicago Tribune coming right out and saying he was there with Kerry. And there's only two guys left, himself and John Kerry, who was actually there. That could he knows what John Kerry did.
Right.
And you stole my thunder earlier too. I wanted to call you about when that caller called in earlier about George Bush being the head of the CIA during 1971. Oh. I was just freaking out. I'm like, I can't believe this guy is using this as another excuse, because I know for a fact that George Bush was head of CIA during the mid 70s.
Right. Yeah, it was 76. I had somebody get me corrected on that, and I'm thankful for it.
I wish you had caught him on it before he got off the phone.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Guy, I was just wondering, how would you give advice to the Kerry campaign if you had, like, an idea for the... Is there, like, could you go on, like, a website for them? Or, like, for an idea of what you know, what to do for commercial or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm in contact with, I'd get in contact with the DNC in Washington. I'd give you the number right here, but I got it in my office. You know, if the Kerry campaign wants any advice for me, and I'm sure they don't, but if they did, I'd like them to listen to me, because I think they ought to start running this campaign like Harry Truman ran a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like for them to tell it like it is, and if the time comes, like John Kerry finally did the other day, bring it on if you want to discuss these records. I think they need to be doing a lot more than that. Where's John Edwards this week? Do you know?
It's been really quiet. That's what worries me, that he waited to the end of the week to do it. But the reason, one of my ideas, and maybe you can suggest it, you probably have a lot more clout than I do, I'm sure you do. You know, I read an article in USA Today a couple weeks ago about the shanty towns that are coming up around the big cities in Texas.
Right.
I mean, real shanty towns without, just like in Mexico, without power, without sewage. And this is George Bush's home state. And you remember back in 1988 when Bush Sr. went up to Boston Harbor and, you know, picked on Dukakis about how polluted it was?
Oh, yeah.
Why doesn't Kerry go after him like that? Why doesn't he make it like his Willie Horton, where go to Bush's home state with the pollution and the shanty towns and show this is what you have for a president?
Well, that's you know, they've made this promise to keep this a nice clean campaign, and I think they're starting to find out that maybe they're going to have to start agreeing with guys like me that you're going to have to get dirty. And I don't mean untruthful dirty, but you're going to have to get down in the mud with these guys and wrestle them, because that's where they're headed with it, and they certainly showed that in spades this week. Bob, thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys.
Always good to hear from people from around. You know, why isn't this president running on his record? Why do you suppose he can't do that? You know, we all want to know what John Kerry and John Edwards' ticket's going to do for America. You know, we want to know what direction they'll take for us, and it's their job to let us know what they stand for. You know, their values, their opinions on national security, military matters, domestic issues, and all that. And I think he's done a pretty good job of it so far, but forget Kerry and Edwards for just a moment. You know, almost all presidential elections are a referendum on the performance of the incumbent president. That's the way it's always been. Or in case of a lame duck president, it's a referendum on the vice president's performance in the administration. But the incumbent candidate has a tremendous advantage because of having 4 years or more of achievements to stand on. You know, he can talk about what he has done, not promises of what he might do. You know, he's got proof that his policies work. Usually that's how it goes. The incumbent runs on his record. And that's simple enough to understand, isn't it? Of course it is. So ask the question. That's the simple question one would ask about whether or not Mr. Bush has earned a second term. Is the economy better now than on January 20, 2001? You all know the answer to that. Do we have more jobs now? You know the answer to that. Are foreign relations better than on January 20, 2001? That's a silly question. Are we safer? Another silly question. Have we slowed down Al-Qaeda even a little bit? Are there fewer bombings being carried out? Are our ports, our trains, our nuclear facilities, are subways, are any of those safer? How about our borders? Since we've had almost 3 years to shore up our border defenses, we've probably done so, right? Yeah, right. Our first responders, the firemen, the policemen and women, the firemen and women, they've all gotten the promised money for equipment necessary to do their jobs in case of another terrible disaster, right? Well, since we're in a war, we know our troops have the full support of our government, right? I mean, when they get home, they will have the very best medical care for the rest of their lives, won't they? Our kids, our kids are getting the best, right? I mean, their educational opportunities are better. They've been increased under this administration, right? No Child Left Behind has gotten the needed money to put it in full effect, right? I know these are just little trivial matters. But after a while, little things begin to add up. And those pesky wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, let's take a look at how they're going. You know, Mr. Bush brags that 7 million Afghanis have registered to vote, and he didn't say who counted them. You know, there's no Afghani kids going to school right now. One out of every 7 Afghanis is in the heroin trade. The warlords control all but a few areas of the country, and they're even saying in Iraq that Alawi is nothing more than the mayor of Baghdad. That's how much control he has over that country. You know, Halliburton's stealing the oil. No meters. They say the meters don't work, and they're taking the oil out of that country. You know, he shoots a few guys who were blindfolded and shows everybody what a great model he is for their new democracy. I've contended before, and I'll say it again, the only thing we're accomplishing right now in Iraq, we're not fighting terrorism whatsoever. Not whatsoever. We're keeping that country by from being having a civil war, which they're going to have the day we walk out anyway. We're just there protecting our oil interests. It couldn't be more clear. It absolutely couldn't be more clear. So, you know, that's his record. Will he win another term? I know one thing. You know, the people of the United States better shape up. We had a caller a few minutes ago that drank the Kool-Aid. I know a lot of you drinking the Kool-Aid from the right-wing talk show host and Fox News and every place you can get it. Folks, please, you owe it to your country. You owe it to your country, and you owe it to yourself to do the right thing and learn the facts. Thanks for listening today. Do remember, it's a donor-supported show. We count on you for that. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for power talk. Power Talk 1200.